Okay, I got you. You're recording.
All right, okay. You got it.
Thank you.
Find myself back.
Right.
that this feeling's got to stay till all the world is living, till all the world is giving, till all the world is loving every day.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is March 30th, 2020, and we broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of the website, for which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, we're going to be picking up in the book of Mark, in chapter 14. We've got 3 weeks or 3 Mondays that we'll be meeting until Easter. The third Monday from today will be the day after Easter. And it kind of is working out with the book of Mark here that we're going to be covering the Passover and the arrest of Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so tonight, we're going to be looking at the reading through the Passover and the arrest of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of long tonight. It's going to be about 9 minutes long. I couldn't find a way to really break this up and also to make it work so that we would finalize out on Easter or the day after Easter, we would have the resurrection. Tonight, again, it's going to be a little long, about 9 minutes. The next week will be about 6 minutes, and then the following week, which will be Monday after Easter, will be 3 minutes. So, anyway, we'll go through the Gospel of Mark. We're picking up in chapter 14 and in verse 1. This is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. After 2 days were the feast of Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was the waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with ye always, and whosoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Truly I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her." And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And he sent them forth, two of his disciples, and said unto them, "Go ye into the city, and there shall meet ye a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say to the good man of the house, 'The master saith, where is the guest chambers where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us.' And his disciples went forth and came unto the city, and found he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Truly I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man betrayeth. Good were it that that man, if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took up the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they did drink of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Truly I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it with you new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. But Peter saith unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will I not, I. And Jesus saith unto him, Truly I say unto thee, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also saith they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James, John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell to the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, that that hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Papa, Father, all these things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same word. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayed me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests, and of the scribes, and the elders. And he that betrayeth him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him, and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him, and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves, to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off even unto the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants, and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain, and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which thou witness against me? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, and saith unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, and saith, What need we any further witness? Ye have heard that blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servant did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out unto the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to him that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus saith unto him, Before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought therein, he wept. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14.
Okay. By the way, how am I coming through? Testing 1, 2. Coming through okay?
Yep, you sound fine to me.
You are now, but the last of the previous stuff was so low I couldn't hear it.
I know. I had to raise my volume all the way up. The song came in at a different volume. The reading of the gospel came in at a different volume, and I'm sure right now I'm coming in through a different volume. I did call technical assistance and left a complaint. They're bombarded with calls again, so I don't know why they just go back to where they were. But if we can't get this fixed, I think we're going to have to go on a mission to try to find another place again. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, let's move on. Tonight, we're going to just kind of review some of the things we're doing as National Liberty Alliance and, you know, try to bring everybody up to an update. Is my screen being shared right now? Is the screen being shared for those who are coming in on browsers?
No, it's not.
Not. Okay, let me try to share my screen and see. Well, all right, well, we'll see what happens. I don't know that I can share it now. Let's see. Share. Start sharing. Okay, there it goes. Let me know if you could see it.
There it is.
Okay. All right. So anybody that's coming in on a browser, or if you're coming in from another way and you want to open up a browser, I'm not sure how that would work. I guess you have to make the connection with some kind of an app. All right. Anyway, we've got the first page open on our website, and the key things that we, the people, need to really come to an understanding of and work out are the things under the people's duty. Okay, and the other thing, of course, is the courses. Okay, we give the free civics course, and we give the militia course, and the government by consent course. And anybody that's serious and wants to understand and you know, step up and do something to help save this nation, they need to read this and need to take these courses and read these pages we're going to be looking at. You know, Donald Trump is doing a great job as we listen in. All those who are paying attention, particularly through the X-22 report and getting a lot of information on the inside and what's really going on around the nation and around the world, and where we're going to end up in the next few months. It's going to be very interesting, and it's going to be really a huge change. excuse me. And it's going to be a paradigm shift, really, I think. A lot of people are going to wake up to things that they never realized. But even with Trump cleaning house and, you know, draining the swamp and getting to the point where people will be arrested and many, 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 many people will be tried for treason. I heard that there are so many people involved in this system that is inside of our government that they really can't. It's just too much to go after all of them and to really, you know, do something on that kind of a level. I heard as much, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard that as much as 70% of Congress, and I presume both houses, I just heard the word Congress, is really in on this. A lot of Republicans are in on this. Some of them not as deep as others, you know, they're not really, some of them are not involved in really, really evil, evil stuff. And I presume those people, they're going to make deals with them, that's what I'm hearing, and use them as witnesses, and of course they'll be leaving their positions. But we don't really know exactly, but these are some of the things I'm hearing. The source I'm getting it from has been pretty good. And again, that's X-22 report and also BCP. I've noticed some of the other places that I've been listening to news on, which is pretty good. They're kind of disconnected from what's really going on behind the scenes, so they seem to be a little confused and trying to figure things out. So there's some contradictions out there. But the reason I'm bringing all this up and talking about this is ultimately because there's going to be a paradigm shift. There's going to be a change. I believe the IRS is going to be gone. And by the way, speaking of the IRS, anybody who wants to get their affidavit in with us on a joinder for the IRS, this is the final call for that. You need to get a hold of Jim right away. Go to intake@nationallibertyalliance.org. Send Jim a message. Tell him you want to get your affidavit in, and let's go from there. But in the next couple of days, if we don't have it, you're not going to be able to attach it. We're going to be filing two papers this week. At least that's our intention. I'm trying to hopefully file a paper concerning the IRS and with all the attachments, moving all those cases into our case for cause. And so, again, I want to try to send that out maybe Wednesday. By Friday, the latest, matter of fact, I have my paper dated Friday, but we're looking to send out our final paper and in a review, okay, ultimately, this is the paper I'm working on right now, but generally speaking, it is a closing statement that we're going to be making as a court. And remember, we opened up this extraordinary action, and we've been filing papers, and then we went into the mode of decisions and orders, and we've been given orders for obedience to the law of the land and expounding upon all of these people, both houses of Congress, the judiciary, 94 federal district courts in the federal judiciary, and the United States Supreme Court, who was our main focus, because they're the ones responsible as far as what is going on in these courts today. But anyway, this paper I'm not quite finished with yet. I'm still working on. So let me just move that out of here right now. But basically, it'll be a closing statement after which the court will adjourn until after. I'm not sure how to say this, but I think I might say it the same way I'm saying it right now. Until after the draining of the swamp and mass arrests. Now, maybe I can find a more easier way to say that. Not that we want to be so easy anyway. But at which time we'll then take an assessment, remove the olive branch, and summarily determine the facts and reiterate the matter as law and justice require. Meanwhile, we will continue to file joinders, habeas corpuses, and indictments of federal and state judges that ignore the due process. Now, we have a huge amount of papers that we have filed over the past couple of years, and we're listing all of these papers I had to drop down in these listings, the font down to 8, in order to really, you know, squeeze it in or, you know, to the minimum amount of pages, and because we're going to be sending this out to everybody. But there is a lot that we have done, as I'm looking at, is a lot more than I realized. And everything we have done, and that they have not responded to, everything we've done and sent in and they did not respond to, is evidence against them, proving the fact that they're not giving us justice, that courts of justice are not available. We have sent in, and I'm just taking a rough number, I'm looking at the habeas corpuses, it looks like about 30 habeas corpuses we've done. We've only had maybe 2 successful, and even of those 2 successes, you know, still hidden in the courts, they concealed it, they just let the person go, or they closed the case, and they moved on, and that was that. So we did shake up a judge or two, but the other ones are so bold, they maintain the status quo, and they just refuse to give people their day in court. They refuse due process. Who are these people? You know, just think about this. Over 30 people. Can it be that they know something that we don't know? What is their attitude? What is their reasoning behind ignoring some 30 or so habeas corpuses? People that are in jail, sitting in jail, not have their due process in a court of law, and they ignore them. So we've got a lot of judges we have already listed up the filing indictments upon, and we're going to have a lot more. I'm working that out with Jim right now to get all that within the paperwork. So we're listing everything. We're even listing all of the indictments we did out there in out west in Oregon with Lavoie Zervinikin. I mean, we've got quite a few people that we've indicted there. Oh, goodness, there must be about another 25 people at least that we have indicted way back then. I'm not sure the date. I have to look up the date, but it was a couple of years ago now at this point. And again, you know, we've got lots of chief judges, lots of judges, state judges, many, many town judges that just don't care about the law. Well, I think there's going to be a rude awakening. There's got to be a change. This is what we're here for. The timing is perfect for us, perfect. At least I believe it is. We've been waiting for this time to file out that last paper. I knew it was coming up. But now that I see what's going on, now is the time. So to file this paper by Friday, which would bring us about, let's see, what's the date of there? Friday? It'd be the 3rd. So we're looking, we'll be into the heat of the spring, so to speak, as the rain or the storm, or the different words that were being used concerning this time period. And so our paper is going in at that period of time. I think it just worked perfectly. So they're going to have a decision because they're not going to have any more protection, and that is the key. How could they possibly have any protection? And I can't believe that Donald Trump won't agree and see this. You can't continue a court that denies due process. You cannot continue a court that thinks that they can change the law by rule, particularly Rule 2, that came about in the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, and then turn around and within years later write these rules and literally write out the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all our founding documents, just throw them away, get rid of our courts of record, which is natural law courts, and create their civil law courts and hold us down in accordance to their statutes and their codes, as if they are our masters and we are their servants. How could that be? How can they get away with this? How can it be that we have been so asleep not to have seen that and to still not to see that? Most people do not see this. They do not understand this. They need to be woken up. You know, Jefferson said it is incumbent upon the nation to give to the people a education, a proper education, an appropriate education, meaning being teaching people how they can have government by consent, how that they can turn and be able to control their government and have a say on who gets onto the ballots. Because right now, the people do not get to say who gets onto the ballots. That's done by party voices. And we go along with them. We join the parties. We participate with them. And then we wonder why one individual in Congress, and it's not just now, it could be any time in history, one individual in Congress can prevent something from coming to the floor. One individual from Congress can just gridlock everything in Washington. And that's true in the Senate, too. Okay? And yet we still join forces with the parties. We've been convinced we have to come together as a group to agree on a certain number of things, and all these terrible things are in there. And nothing could be further from the truth. All the politics and BS that goes on that they do and that they use concerning anything that comes up, okay? And politics is evil. And I don't care what you tell me, it's evil. It's wrong. It's not part of who we are as a people. We have the only lawful government in the world. A lawful government is one under the blessings of God. A lawful government is one that is under the will of God as far as the court is concerned, which is exactly a covenant made with God, which is exactly what the Declaration of Independence was all about, breaking away from Britain and becoming independent, but moving ourselves under nature's God. Read through that very carefully. It is exactly the point. Our courts of justice, the word law in Black's Law, you will find the word law used all over the place. But when you go up to really discover what is the meaning of law, in law, on law, and law itself, and a few other different phrases as it comes into at law, for instance. So in law, at law, and law. Those three phrases all mean the same thing. It means true law by authority. And that true law by authority has to come from a sovereign. And the sovereign of the universe is God. And it's his law, which is natural law, which we, the people, answer to, respond to, and live under, and are to be judged by. That's called the natural law courts, which they closed down because they think they had the power and the authority to do that. And they continue on this. And the Supreme Court knows this very well. All those nine judges up there, they absolutely know and understand exactly what we were talking about. And yet they still remain silent. But when the swamp is drained, we're going to find out how silent they are, because we're really going to have to really think and come together and consider indictments for every single one of them. Any one of them that doesn't step up and stand with the people and bring our courts back to courts of law again. So they have robbed us of our courts of law. They have destroyed the Constitution. You don't have any natural-born rights anymore. Your rights are not unalienable in their minds. You have civil rights. So that's what the 14th Amendment is all about. It changes everything, changes the whole view of all things. We're subject to them. They use the word subject to the jurisdiction they're in. I am not subject to any jurisdiction save the jurisdiction of common law under God in a court of justice. That's the only thing I am subject to. And you know, natural law is very clear. It really builds off of one short sentence, a short couple of words. Do no harm. Those three words is all you have to know about common law. Harm nobody. And if there is no injured party and you have harmed nobody, then there is no case. And yet, we have people, the federal government, they a lot of these cases that they try, they just don't have the power or the authority to do it. Clearly, the United States Supreme Court does not have the power or the authority to rule anything on the issues. Their job is to interpret only and to enforce only through American jurisprudence, which is the science of law, okay, which is American law, and they're to interpret only the codes and the statutes, the codes and the regulations, and to apply justice there. Still under common law, ultimately, at least, but of course they are controlled in those particular courts. We've got 57 jurisdictions in the federal district, and all of those are still controlled by American jurisprudence, which gets its power and authority from common law. It still gets back to maxims. And of course, the codes that legislation has written up, and anything that is repugnant to the common law in there is null and void. But it is right for people when they work for the government, they're in an agency of some kind, or elected individual, or appointed individual, and they have to follow certain rules and regulations, statutes, and if they break them, there's a penalty for it, and it is right to use those against them and to apply that justice against them. But it's also right of the people, if it is a criminal offense, you still have to have a jury who understands, who must understand in that case that these people are living under a certain, or responding or acting under a certain, you know, restriction of law called the statutes, regulations, and codes. And so that, therefore we have to, as a jury, we have to consider that in those cases. When it's one of the bureaucrats that's up, and how often do you see a bureaucrat go to the courts? I mean, I've only seen a few of those in my lifetime. But that's what it's for. But still then, the power of the people, because we're the boss, it reflects the authority that we have that we don't know, is that we can nullify anything. As jurists in a courtroom, we can step up and say, no, we don't like this code, even though they were under that code and the conditions and the situation, we don't like it. It's out of here. And if they say they should go to jail and they think that something else should happen to pay, you know, the penalty, then that's what it is. The people decide. And their word is final. You know, there is no appeal from a court of record. Let me repeat that. There is no appeal from a court of record. The only thing that a judge or a court that is an appellate court that can reconsider in a court of record, if there was some kind of injustice, and it would have to, and it had to be clear to begin with, and they can't decide on what the decision of that court is and say that's unjust. That's not their decision. That cannot be appealed on that. Generally speaking, if someone's unalienable rights was violated in that court during that time period, that's what could be fixed and altered. Of course, they can get involved if all of a sudden some evidence came up, maybe DNA evidence proving the fact that the individual was innocent after all, so on and so forth. And of course, that's obvious. It's clear. It's logic. We don't even, that in itself is a maxim. You know, a truth that is so obvious, that's a maxim. That's what a maxim is. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of maxims. New maxims are even found in court cases from time to time. But, you know, they have turned everything upside down and on its head, and people don't even know what's logical anymore, what is, either they get so confused, okay, because we're in the land of confusion that they have created within our education, within the media, entertainment, music, which is entertainment, within our political process, our judicial process, within our religion. I mean, they have done nothing but create chaos. And that's why I say we're about to have a big change, because what Donald Trump is doing, and they did post a new video up on our website. Matter of fact, let me see where I put this. I might have put it under Q. Okay. I just posted this today. I was listening to this individual professor talking to, I think they were college students, the deep state or double government right here. This is a very, very interesting video. When people get time, it's an hour and a half. It's almost 2 hours long, but well worth the watching, okay? Well worth the watching. This guy digs in deep and lays out a lot of things, and there are big changes coming, okay? A paradigm shift is almost an understatement, I think, from what's coming. You know, once things, I think we're going to find out truth about 9/11, but the fact that in this individual and some other individuals I was listening to, they were talking about that. So we're going to find out some truths about 9/11. I think we're going to find out truth concerning the Kennedy, find out truths of a lot of, what would you call it, things, for instance, for energy, okay? Gas may no longer be necessary, you know? Technology is what it's looking for. Technology is, there's so much technology that they have been holding back on us. I mean, I've been watching over the years as people disappear or die because they came up with maybe a particular engine or some kind of a technology where little to no energy is put into it, and what gets out of it is unbelievable. To be able to tap into the magnetic source of the earth, I guess you might say it that way. So anyway, big changes are coming, and we need to be prepared for it. And here is the key, okay? People do not understand. They do not know. that they were in courts and they continue to go to courts in jurisdictions unknown. They don't know what to do when they get stuck in the system. They don't know how to get out of the system. It's almost impossible to get out of the system, but it is possible, but it's tough. And but you really have to put the fear of the law into the heart of the judge that's up there thinking that he gets to decide everything. But people don't know that you're under civil law. They don't know the difference between civil law. They call themselves, they talk about having civil rights. I don't have civil rights. Civil rights brings us right back to statutes. Okay? My rights were not given to me from a man, another man. It was given to me by God. And that's the attitude people have got to have. They've got to change, and they got to take a different focus on this thing. They need to step up and understand that we're the boss. We wrote the law. We're above the Constitution. And we never gave them any power, any authority to write any statutes or any codes or any regulations or anything to control the behavior of we the people. That's my job. And if I injure somebody because I am just being careless or evil or whatever the case may be, then I got to be dealt with and I got to deal with that problem. And I go into a court of law, not to a court of statutes, not to a civil law court. Not to some guy up there that's all these judges just are so corrupt. They're no more or less corrupt than any other politician. You know, Jefferson spoke about it. You know, these judges are no better than any other man. They still have the same flaws and the same problems. And the next thing you know, a favor here and a favor there, they turn around and they see how deep they are. And then, of course, they ignore that until the time comes that maybe they're going to be held responsible. And then they look and say, whoa, you know, see how far I have really slipped into this abyss. People need to become educated, and that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about. You know, I know we've been trying to connect with a lot of the militias, okay, and there was a big resistance, and I don't know how articulate the conversation was or, you know, because people may not understand or exactly may not understand how to explain what it is that we're doing. But National Liberty Alliance is not a national organization looking to control the grassroots from a national level. Certainly not the militia. Certainly not the juries. And certainly not the committeemen. For to have that kind of thinking would make us as evil as the powers that be at this point, the elite, the status quo. And that is not our intention, of course. It's hard to get a conversation with those people because they're not willing to hear for whatever reasons. So we decided we're going to rebuild the militia from the ground up, starting with the unorganized militia and, of course, eventually working into the organized militia. That's going to be up to the people that are really involved at the grassroots level and start to initiate that kind of a movement. And of course, that's why, you know, with the help of Brent Winters, we put together the Free Militia course, okay? That's a course we put together for the sole purpose of people that want to join the militia and get involved, which everyone should be signed up on it, be registered with them. Doesn't mean you got to respond. You're still free not to respond. You have a duty to respond if you're called, if you're between the age of 20 and 45 and able to use a weapon and be able to fight. Those people need to respond. Not everybody is able. But we all need to learn to become able, maybe. And, of course, people under 20 and over 45, they're not required, but they can if they want. Females certainly are not required to respond, but they can if they want. And there's plenty of things, you know, in an emergency situation where women could do a lot of other things other than to pick up a gun and fight. There's lots of other things going on during that process where people need to be there to be able to keep the supply lines moving and different things. So it's, you know, again, we have to build a militia very, very lawfully and accurately according to common law. And Brent Winters has done an extraordinary job in going back to see, you know, how a militia, what is lawful, how a militia should act, and so on and so forth. And he's opened my eyes up to realize that the National Guard is not the militia. It's totally controlled by the federal government. They're under total control. And so somehow we as a people, you know, we have to first of all start working together with the militia. We get the unorganized militia on the ground floor moving up, working alongside it, the organized militia. And hopefully when we get to the other side of things with what Trump is doing out there in the swamp, you know, maybe hopefully we'll get together and be able maybe just to be able to repair the problems with the National Guard and place them back in their proper authorities and the way that things should work for them. Clearly, they should be able to be called up by the governor, and I presume the governor can call the National Guard up still. But again, you know, it's too much federal control, and therein is the problem. But anyway, that's a problem that needs to be figured out, and we've got time to figure that out, but we need to organize meanwhile. Everyone needs to start organizing their county, you know. And so, again, that's why we have under the People's Duty tag, we have a page you organize in your county. First page, we just put this up maybe a week ago or so. And just to read the first couple of words, organizing begins with one person. It begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with the people that are conscious of the problem and realize the need for this to be done. It begins with one person taking that initiative to get things going and by finding one other person to do the same, and then another, and then another, until you have four people willing to hold or temporarily hold certain executive positions. And so we set this up because, you know, once you get a committee going and things going and you have meetings and stuff, you do need some control. But the chairman has no more power, authority, or vote, or more of a vote than anybody else in that room, in that grassroots level, in that group. Nobody else. You've got one vote just like you and I got. The only difference between us and a chairman or a co-chairman is the fact that they just make sure that the program moves on, that everything is heard. They don't have the power or the authority to say, we're not going to take this to the floor, put this over there. We're not going to discuss this tonight, not get rid of that. No, they don't have that authority. What comes before the chair has to be heard. And maybe there's a lot of stuff and they have to put something off till next week. Well, that's fine. But the thing is, it has to be heard. The chairman... It shouldn't be an exercise of insanity to try to get rid of a chairman. If the group is not happy with the chairman for some reason or another, whatever that might be, thinking they have some authority that they don't and abusing their position, well, just get rid of them. By any vote, you don't need any kind of a super vote to get rid of them. If you got 100 people or 90, whatever, if 100 people, if 51 people say he goes, you know? It's the majority rule and replan the majority decision of who they're going to put back as a chairman. A lot of people may not want to be that position. Okay, so, you know, but if someone doesn't mind being in that position, they vote them in and they put them in. And they should change them every so often. At bare minimum, every 2 years. Bare minimum. But I would think every year, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, those positions, there are four positions that really do need to be in place before you can have your first real meeting. And therefore, you start in your first real meeting with four people. Now, I'm not going to go through the details of how to organize your county here because everyone could go to this page right here, which is under People's Duty. Click on Organizing Your County and read through this very carefully, okay? We also have, and there's not much to read, you know, but we also have, we're going to create a new page also, which we'll put up here, which is the organizing National Liberty Alliance's organization, how we are organized, what is our structure, and what are each groups of these individuals or committees or whatever, leaders, organizers, coordinators, what exactly is it that they do? And we've written a paper, and we've got to get it cleaned up a little bit. I'm hoping to get it up before the next meeting. I should get it up this week. We do have two papers to go out, though. We're going out, and I'll repeat this one last time, the last time you're going to hear it. This is the last call for anybody who wants to get into the any paper, an affidavit in to our IRS case. It goes out Wednesday, and it's done, okay? We will continue to do habeas corpuses. We will continue to do joinders, okay? Any case, we'll do a paper for them, and move into the federal district court for cause and add it to our paperwork and things that need to be addressed at some point in time, because once we get justice back into the courts, once we open up courts of record again, all these cases need to be dealt with. And they really quickly can be dealt with. They can be dealt with by some good, honest, just justice that we may hopefully get into our courts through summary judgments. We don't have to go through all of the process of the hearing for each one of these cases. It is clear by affidavit. It is clear by the way that these courts are operating that they are civil law courts. They have no power, no authority, and therefore the people are not getting due process, and everything needs to be reversed. Very simple. Can be done, summary judgment. We will write the paper. It's going to be so simple. Matter of fact, we will write the papers, the generic papers, and what we require a judge to do. A judge that's going to be just. Okay? And we could probably do maybe three or four different kinds of papers that will work with all of our cases. You know, we try to work our paperwork as generic as possible. But, you know, when we're doing non-judicial foreclosures, we have one form we work with. If we're going to be doing something with the family courts, we got a little bit of a different tweaking on it. And so on and so forth, and the different kinds of cases that we do handle. Habeas corpus, you know, that's a particular type of a form that we've created and put up, and it generally works. We may have to tweak it a little bit if we're trying to get someone's children back from the family court or something like that. But every one of these cases, we will get justice for them. And I do believe it's a lot closer than we realize. I think it's this year. I'm convinced. I don't see how it could not be this year. I cannot see how it's not going to be literally in the next 12 to 14 days. Let's put it that way. Can't see how it's going to be anything where at least, you know, the hard times are coming, and not for us. Hard times are coming for them. And you know, I see the Federal Reserve being taken out. I just heard some people talking about it, that serious people involved in the system on what's really going on, and what Trump is trying to do is ultimately they're going to have to go into bankruptcy court. Dave at X22 was talking about this also. They're going to be put into the bankruptcy court. We're not paying that debt off. That's not our debt. That was all fraud. And all the world knows it. All the world has been benefiting from the United States anyway. We've been giving them huge amounts of money. They've been eating up that debt just like we have. Not that we wanted to, but that's the system that was shoved down our throats, and it's a system we've been living in, but it's a system that is going to change. And so huge, huge dynamic changes about to come into the entire world, not just America, into the entire world. Revelations, what happened with Kennedy, all these things, 9/11, all of these different, it's just going to be a huge change. Our court system, we can't change everything and not fix our court system. I mean, anybody who doesn't know, Donald Trump knows the court system's corrupt. He knows it. We all know it. It's corrupt. It needs changing. We need cleaning of the house. We need to bring back the law of the land and bring justice back into our courts and put these people in jail. That's what we need to do. And I do believe all of this is going to happen. It's almost like there's no doubt in my mind. It's very clear to me. And the paper that we're writing, which again I intend on reading next week, it's not going to be a long paper, but when I read it, I will read it with sharing the desktop, so people should try to come in on browsers, or you can just open your browser as we're going through this. And I don't know, am I being heard or something? Jim's trying to call me. I'm wondering if he's trying to tell me something. Am I coming through?
Yes, you're being heard.
Okay.
It's just fine.
I don't know why Jim's trying to get me while I'm online here. I thought I shut that off. Let me see if I can shut that off, so... Yeah, I don't know how he got through to me. I got a new do not disturb. All right, well, anyway. Let me see where I was. Well, I may repeat myself. I'm not sure exactly where we were. But anyway, justice is coming. Things are changing. IRS is going to become the thing of the past. It's gone. But nevertheless, we need to get our papers in. And you know what? By getting our papers in, we're looking for restitution. Okay? And if you're looking for restitution, then, you know, get your affidavit in, because we're demanding a restitution, a certain amount of money for each right that was violated. And you know, at least due process was violated. But also we're looking for people to be returned back to the condition they were before they were assaulted by these people. If you spend lots of money in court through lawyer, you need to be reimbursed by that. And we need to go to the people who are running this operation. They're the ones that got their fat pockets all filled up, you know. All of these U.S. attorneys, if it's in the federal court, and generally the IRS is, so, the U.S. attorneys and the judges, you know, the prosecutors, that is. They're prosecuting a case they never should prosecute. They know that civil law is not the law of the land, and if they don't, that's tough. That's no excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. That's what they'll tell you when you go to court. Yes, son, look, ignorance of the law is no excuse. It doesn't matter. You know, 6 months in jail, pop, whatever these crazy people decide. Okay? Well, we'll just give it back to them. Ignorance of the law, no excuse. You know, they'll have to sell their boats and their summer houses and take whatever it is, you know. Point is, justice must be found. And we do intend on pursuing it to the extreme, to the letter of the law. We want justice. Nothing beyond it, certainly not less than. Okay, going back to what we have to do, organizing our county. We just had a meeting recently to talk about the different things, particularly the committee man. But let me just go down this list. Register to vote, okay? Click on that tab. If you have not registered to vote, if you are not registered to vote, get registered now. And, you know, it doesn't matter what party you pick. I would suggest either picking one of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. Why? Because at this point in time, that's where the power and the authority is on the committeeman process. If you run as independent, you know, yeah, there may be a town here or a county here that maybe has enough members and is able to get some leverage into the system, and yeah, possibly, you know, but that would be rare and few and in between. But generally speaking, the real power is in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party at this time. My intention, and I'm hoping that people would agree over time, I'm going to make the case for it, and hopefully people will come to their senses and realize we don't need parties. Party is only one side trying to get more power and authority and whatever over the other side. And you go back and forth fighting for this or that, and you're arguing things that cannot be changed more often than not, things that can't be changed in the Constitution anyway. It is what it is. You know, you can't change it. You can, you know, and I'm going to write a paper on the power or the structure of the Constitution, the authorities or the vested authorities that cannot be changed. You cannot alter the balance of power in the Constitution, because to do that means you have to redo everything. Okay, certainly we're not going to redo everything. We could never get it where we're at, and we'll never get the people with the integrity that our founding fathers had to be able to build a republic like they did. you know, you can change things in the Constitution as long as it doesn't alter the power structure. There is a balance of power. For instance, this is a real simple one to see. It's a no-brainer. Anyone can see it immediately. The 17th Amendment. You know, look at the power structure within the federal government. Of course, we know there are three branches. Okay, the judicial branch and the legislative branch and the administrative branch. So you got three branches, and there's a balance of power there. But there is also a balance of power between the federal government, the states, and the people. Another three, if you want to call them three branches, I don't know, but, you know, three different entities. And the states, you know, that the Senate is supposed to be doing the will of the states. And the Senate, you know, if you're doing our studies, you know, you'll see what it is that the Senate gets involved with. You know, Congress doesn't get involved or have anything to say about appointments. It is the Senate that makes that decision. That's given to the states. The states make that decision, okay? And of course, Congress, they have their authorities and power. We've listed them out in our study of consent of government. under our courses, so government by consent course. So when they removed the choosing of the Senate by the states, they upset the whole power structure. The balance of power has been upset. The states are no longer sovereign. They're no longer sovereign. Why aren't they sovereign? Because they have absolutely zero say in what goes on in the Senate. And there may be some little bit of an influence, but that's all it is, a little bit of an influence. They can't require the Senate to be obedient. In other words, a state can't require their senator. They got two senators. They can't require those two senators to be obedient. They could do whatever they want. Why? Because they're elected by the people, which was never meant to be. Okay, we already got representation. It's called the Congress. We have representatives. Well, the state needs representatives too. Okay, and when we take it away, we upset the entire balance of power. They are no longer sovereign because they have no say in what goes on in the federal government. And guess what? To the people, we're not sovereign anymore either. Okay. They've removed our unalienable rights and given us civil rights. They've removed our courts of law, our courts of justice, and give us courts under civil Roman law or Roman civil law. They have abrogated the law of the land, which means the Constitution really doesn't apply either. When everybody's looking and there's kind of things that they can't hide, like what's going on right now, they're kind of, well, we had to work within the guidelines of the Constitution because too many people are looking. And some of those people understand what's going on, of course. But the general public, they don't have a clue. They don't know how evil our courts are. They don't know how evil our Congress is, our government is, our governors, our legislators within our states. All of our judges, town judges, they have no power, no authority, no right to be making any kind of a judgment. Half of these people, they've never studied anything, never mind the common law. They haven't even studied the equity. Town judges, no power, no authority, cannot give you due process. Villages, village justices, same thing, can't do it. County courts, they should have, but they don't have because they're under civil law, so no due process there. State courts, no due processes there. They're under Roman civil law also, so forget about it. No due process, can't have it. But people don't know it until they get stuck in it. And when they get stuck in it, they can't get out of it. And then they get fleeced. They get their money stolen or their liberty stolen. Okay, under here also, becoming a committee man, okay? People should come up here and let's see what's going on to become a committee man. Get involved. But let's start organizing your counties first. Okay, committee men members in your county, committee men petition process. How to go through the process to become an elected committee man. Here is the process right here on this page, all under people's duty tab, okay? Got a good video. This is six videos in a row. They're about 10 minutes apiece, so it's 60 minutes of videos. You can download the applications right here for designating petitions to become, get elected eventually in the primaries. Okay, proposed party rules. We've already done this in New York. We've laid this out as a guidelines of uniformity. People should read through this very carefully. I doubt they'll find much of anything wrong here. We really diligently worked on this. We created rules to empower the people and not party bosses. And so each county committee and each county committee, ultimately, they have to adopt their own rules. And if they start off with this, there's a lot to be added to because each county is different from another county. We have different problems, different situations. So we may make different resolutions. So we add all that stuff as needed, but we need at least a framework. So we have that framework, and this framework, again, was designed and created and written to empower the people on the grassroots level and to prevent an individual from seizing control of a committee to get the will of one over the will of all. So again, people should read through this. And when your time comes and you're working through and getting the committees going, we should be running for committeeman this year and next year. In next 2 years, this year and next year, we should be able to fill it up with the people. If the people want to save America. That's the question. We have public review, which I'm not going to get too much into that. We're going to have a guest speaker one day real soon, maybe in a couple of weeks. We haven't worked it out yet. I'm going to come in and talk about Republic Review. It's a very powerful program, and these videos explain it. They're short videos. They give a good explanation. And then there's a longer introduction also on this page. There is a bullet point on the argument for Republic Review, which is really cleaning up all of the damage, ultimately, that this Congress and this court has done. And not just this Congress and this court. I mean the Congresses of the last 150 years, at least 100 years, and the courts the last 100 years. Okay, all the damage that they have done, that's what Republic Review is all about, to be able to go in and clean this up and deal with this in the Constitution without making any constitutional changes. We're not looking for a convention because people, this is not the environment to try to get any kind of thing like that going. But to be able to discuss and maybe work on certain situations where maybe government should have certain powers that they don't have and maybe we need to consider giving it to them. And so, anyway, there is a plan for that, and there's a sunset plan for different things. I think it's a two-year sunset to allow them to continue with certain agencies until we can fix the problem, because those agencies are needed. They just weren't accounted for, 200 years ago, but today we need them. And I'm sure 100 years from now we may need some other things again. We can adjust the Constitution. We can add to it, give them certain powers and authorities, providing it doesn't upset the balance of power and providing it doesn't affect our unalienable rights. If any of our unalienable rights is violated in any way, shape, or form by anything that wants to go into the Constitution, it's null and void. It's like it never happened. No power, no authority over anybody. And again, people need to understand this and be able to realize they can exercise this in a court. Of course, in today's court environment, you can't do it, but in a court of justice, a justice court, you will be able to do it. Okay, let's see. We got information on the militia. You can register for the militia here. And we also will be putting together a connection for militia members in your county, which we may not really need because we may disconnect that page because once you're connected in your county and your county's being organized, well, the people there, you know who they are. And again, four people come together to get a meeting going. Each one of those four people should bring guests, one or two or more, should go to different places and invite people, different liberty groups, local, within your county, around your county, invite them to the meeting and so on. Militia rules for the several states. We hammered this out also. I worked with Brent on this. I put a lot of things together. I went to Brent and we made sure that what we had done and put together as the rules does not violate natural law, does not violate the way the militia should go. One of the most powerful things and the biggest things we're doing is jury administrators. Okay, so people, we need four administrators for every county. And we need to get that, and those people, of course, make sure that the juries, trial juries and grand juries, is orientated properly, and that they're not abused by the judge or the prosecutor, and also those four administrators become the investigative body for the grand jury when they want to do an investigation, make sure they clear the way if they wanted to go in. Look into something that they're not even called for some reason, comes there and they want to look into it and they want to get access to a certain government office and information and talk to people and look in computers and go through files. Well, we're there to make it clear to those people where they want to go into those different agencies to clear the way so that they can go in there and they will get cooperation. Also, we will have the ability as administrators to do some investigative work ourselves within our own counties, and bring that to the attention of the grand jury to ask maybe for an indictment. But the grand jury should be open to anyone. It's our grand jury. It's we the people. anybody should be able to come and make an appointment to go talk to the grand jury. Anybody. They got a complaint, the problem. And generally, they'll bring it to the administrators first, of course, to get on to get, you know, arranged so that they can get an appointment to be heard. And in that's the case, a lot of these problems we can probably fix with a phone call, you know, by calling an agency. And if not, the threat is, well, then we're going to let this person go talk to the grand jury, and they may have a whole different view on how they're going to deal with this. So if you don't want to do the right thing, fella or ma'am, you know, fine. We can get the work done. Once they realize that there is no more protection and now have to answer to the people, but the people got to step up and require them to be answering us, you know. So we have the right of redress of grievances, First Amendment, which we brought to the United States Supreme Court, and they refused to answer the question concerning redress of grievances, whether are we still a free people or not. Do we still have a constitution? They refuse to answer those questions. And we have all this information. We've been doing this since 2000, ultimately. I mean, National Liberty Alliance has been around since, I think, what, 2013 or 12 or something like that. But a lot of us were involved in other things, like We the People goes back to, I was involved since 1999 when I joined up with We the People. Got involved with them in court cases in 2001. In any event, people need to get moving on the grassroots level. This is where all your information is under People's Duty, and all of your education, your general education that you need is under the courses. And then, of course, there is a higher education if you want to go to there. And this is your own research and get in. We've got lots of things and lots of information and essays and great works and reading. And people can do a lot of stuff and get their own education. Self-education, which is the best education, in my opinion, at least in today's environment. Right, well, that's pretty much all I have to say for that. People need to get involved. Next week, I'm pretty sure we will read the paper, which is going to be about 8 pages. It might be like 15 pages. But a lot of the pages we're going to skim through, because all it is a list of different cases, all the evidence and list of evidence. And if you wanted to browse through that evidence and read through some of those papers and look at some of the memorandums and some of the nonjudicial foreclosure files that we've been putting in the joinders and the habeas corpuses and all those things, if you actually wanted to read those things, a lot of it is repetitive because we do a lot by form work. Nevertheless, we do have all that up on our website under grand jury action against the judiciary. So all of our evidence that we're going to be bringing in, and I think you'll agree when we read this paper that it's going to be a powerful paper, and the guilt is clear in the day that they are guilty of sin, and they're not going to be able to get past things, because look at once this nation starts to make changes. You know, a new economic system, the Federal Reserve gone, IRS no more, all these people going to jail, obedience to the Constitution. You know, I'm sure they have a lot of plans to arrest a lot of judges, too. Okay, so our paper is going to be really, really powerful when that time comes. And that time is coming now. That time is coming in the next month or so. It's coming in the next weeks, possibly. Well, definitely coming in the next week, but it's going to extend through months. And, you know, they call it the awakening. And I do see it as a great awakening. You know, again, a big change in our nation, a big change in the world. It's going to be epic. It's going to be, and they use the word, biblical. And that's where we're at. But we need to get involved. If we're going to maintain justice and we're going to have that, we need to get in and take control and do the things that we the people have a duty to do. And let me just say this once more, and I've said it numerous times. Everybody has a duty to become a committee man once in their lifetime. Everybody. Children, of course, not, but they grow up to be people, adults, and they got a duty. We need to teach them that they have a duty to do that. Everyone should be registered with the militia in their counties. Everyone should respond when they get the call as a grand jurist or a trial jurist. The things are going to change there. People are not going to be abused the way they're being abused. And they're not going to be going in there and having to go away from work for a week and not get paid an appropriate amount of money for that time period. They need to be compensated. After all, judges are compensated. We need to take some of the money away from them, maybe. I'm sure that is the case. But people need to be compensated. But they treat the juries as second-hand citizens, and of course, they're all stacked and controlled, and they end up performing the will of the status quo, because they're convinced of it. And if you're someone that's a free thinker, someone that talks about the Constitution and unalienable rights, you certainly are not going to be chosen for most juries. Okay. Anyway, Jan, do we have any questions?
John, I got something I want to add to what you said before we go on.
Yep.
When you're talking about why do they think they can get away with this and you know, with the courts and everything, there's been a major, major change in the past 3 weeks as far as the news getting out and your Google searches. Well, I don't know if you realize it, but there's two X22s. One's X22 Report and the other one's X22 Spotlight. X22 Spotlight has the blue X and the other one has the black X. Well, on X22 Spotlight, and everybody should check this out because the information on here is unbelievable. It's about this fella here, Zach Voorhees. He was a Google engineer that worked for Google for 8 years, and he started seeing
I should put the spotlight link up there with the X22 link.
Yeah, and this is an interview with Zach Voorhees, and he was a Google engineer when he saw all the shadow banning when they edit stuff out. I'm sorry, I'm having a senior moment. Help me out. Hello?
Edit?
Yeah, go ahead.
Not edit, but when they kill it, when they put it on a black thing, they
manipulate the numbers and manipulate.
Not only manipulate the numbers, they completely.
But also the search engine, so it comes up someplace else.
Right. So what they're doing is they're completely banning it, and that's part of the problem we've had, because what they've done is they've put our stuff on a blacklist, and when you search it, it doesn't come up. Some of our stuff should have went viral, but as soon as people started looking for it, it disappeared, and that was a action of Google with their algorithms. And this particular engineer, Zach Voorhees, started seeing, you know, the censorship. That's the word I was looking for. And he said, this is ridiculous. And the more he looked at it, because he was an engineer, he had access to all this stuff. And when he found out that it was getting worse and worse, because he said there was a change in Google when Trump got elected, and the CEO and the FEO had a meeting, and they said, look, we're going to work to get rid of this guy. I mean, they just came out and admitted it. And, you know, eventually he got disgusted and he started collecting information and he turned into a whistleblower. He decided he was going to quit. And he said, look, I love Google. They give us massages during the day and they did this and that. He said, but I could see that the country was going to be taken over and that they were actually able to affect the voting and all the information. So when you went looking for something, you wouldn't find it. Not only that, there was another video on one of the X-22s where, I don't know if you remember, when Trump went into Saudi Arabia and he was there and they did the sword dance and all this stuff. And somebody in one of the news media asked him how it went. He said, it went good. And he said, in spite of all the negative media coverage, Covfefe. And everybody said, what does Covfefe? He said, have fun figuring out what Covfefe means. Well, Google kicked into high gear, and what Covfefe meant was, if you, it was Arabic. If you put it in a translator, it was Arabic for "we will stand." So in spite of all the negative media attention, "we will stand." But what Google did was they took Covfefe out of all the dictionaries online. If you put it in, and then they went to one of the top colleges that they knew that the New York Times was doing a story on this Covfefe. They're the ones that, "what's he talking about? He's crazy." And they had the head, you know, what do you call it? One of the professors there, when the paper called them up, they said, "Is Covfefe a word?" He said, "No, that's ridiculous." Well, it is a word, and so they erased it from all the dictionaries and everything, and then they said, "We got to get rid of Donald Trump. He's crazy. He's using words that don't mean anything, and this and that." Well, you know what that is? That's treason. Manipulation. It's capital punishment for getting into and actually eliminating a word out of the language and hiding it to try to make them look crazy. But besides that, this guy decided he was going to give his information to Project Veritas, which is James O'Keefe. Now, James O'Keefe blew a lot of whistles, and then what they did was Google and the deep state put people in his organizations to try to trap him and feed him false information that he would go on, and then they would expose him. And he had a lot of trouble in court. And by the time this engineer got to him and said, "Look, I got all this information, and this is what they're doing," and it was so deep, and he had so much information, James O'Keefe got very suspicious, and he said, "He says it sounds funny. He says I can't go with it," because he was afraid that it was misinformation that Google was feeding him. So he didn't do anything right away. So this guy decided finally he couldn't take it anymore. He was going to quit Google, go back into his old business of selling online. And he sat down to, he stuffed a box full of, I forget what it was. It was 100, 900, 1,000 pages of stuff that he got from Google showing what they were doing, showing how they were hiding information from the people, showing how when you put in a term that they were giving you another term so that they could affect your research and hide those articles that threw light. He said, "You know, look at, what do they fear the most? They fear public exposure. We know when we went to the courts, what did the judges fear? They didn't fear anything until you had 50 or 100 people show up in court, and then what happened? They got very nervous, and they were on their best behavior, as best as they could be." So he stuffed a box full of the information and sent it off to the Justice Department. So he said he sat down that night, and he wrote his resignation letter, and as he's writing his letter, James O'Keefe calls him, and this is like 9 months later after he didn't hear anything from him, figured he wasn't going to do anything with it. And he said, "Look, you got to come over here and say into a mic what you told me." And he said, "Well, guess what? I'm just doing my resignation letter right now," and he did it. And he came over and he did it. And the rest of the story, you should watch it, because it's crazy. They had a SWAT team out at his house saying that he had a bomb and all this other crazy stuff. You got to hear the story. Well, recently Trump and the White Hats went in there, and they got this information, and basically what they, you know, art of the deal. These guys are like, you know, they're working on the deep state, and they'll forgive anybody that's willing to work with them. And they basically, what they gave them, they said, "Look, you can have silver or lead." They said, "Look, we'll pay you the extra money. We'll provide funds for you to get your engineers and fix this algorithm that you got in there, because it's a learning algorithm with AI. And as it gets worse as it goes along, because the AI learns to pick up terms, and it becomes more and more efficient and brutal as it goes along." So Trump and the Patriots told them, "You need to fix this, and we'll even give you money for your engineers to work. We want," I forget how many hundred engineers they put on it, like 10 times more than they could have needed, because he wanted it done quick. So it was either that or the lead. You either take the bullet or you fix it. And so now when you put these terms in to Google, all of a sudden, all this information was coming up. Even the stuff we did, you try to get our paperwork, you couldn't find it online. It wouldn't come up in the Google searches. You should go search it now and see what comes up. As a matter of fact, they did so much compensation that when you put in Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party, some kind of crazy meme come up. It wasn't the donkey. It was like a snake or something. So one of the engineers probably, you know, got pissed and said, "Yeah, well, I'm gonna fix it all right." But that's very exciting that now you can go in and do research, and this algorithm has been killed, and you're going to see it. And it's one of the things that is even held in the LA back, because our information doesn't get out, and you can't tell, because they make sure that you, that like if John puts something out and you go in there and you're in the LA, you get it. It looks fine, but what's happening is that algorithm knows who you talk to, and so they know how to keep it so that you don't know what they're doing. But you put somebody in that's not in your group and have them go search it, guess what? It's not going to come up anywhere. So these are exciting things right now that are going on. He's basically taking control over them. Now, also, one of the things I heard was that, you know, they complained that Donald Trump wasn't doing enough press releases, so he started doing them every day. Now they don't want to cover them. That's why Trump said, look, if they stop covering me, I'm going to shut them off, and I'm going to use the emergency broadcast system. So that's where that story comes from. And that could happen, you know, during this big arrest that he wants to do during these dark days. And X-22 has a timeline of there's three different timelines of one of 30 days, one of 15 days, another 11 days. He tells you exactly what they're going to be doing between now and the middle of April. And that's why Trump wanted to end this thing by the middle of April. But it turns out that the health departments got to him and said, look, this thing's just going to be peaking by then. You can't let people come back together because you could revitalize it. So I don't know. I kind of think it's hepped way more than it is, because I don't believe that all those people are dying and coming down with the COVID virus 19. They're just classifying everything. And every year we have over 36,000 people die from the regular flu. And it looks like there's about less than 1% fatality rate, and it's mostly older people and sick people. The trouble is this is also the regular flu season, so this is on top of that. So the hospitals could get backed up. That part is true, and it just remains to be seen in the next couple of weeks how this thing peaks. But it's nowhere as bad as they're making it out to be, as far as who's dying and who's getting, you know, and who's it affecting. Many, many people are getting it and just getting a cold and a sneeze and getting over it, and they're immune to it, and they're not testing those people. So those people are not in the statistics. So all their statistics are leaning towards like this thing being a horrible, horrible pandemic, and they don't even have the information to make those decisions yet. So that's where we're at. And I'll tell you that.
I got back up on the what do you call it, page for you right now. I don't know if you could see it.
I'm sorry, that.
On the, I'm sharing.
Oh, yes, that's the one. Yeah. Yep, and it's about 103 minutes.
I did have both on it. This is under Q, and if you click on X22 report, because this is really the primary news, and you've got the regular reports, the X22 reports that he puts out, and then you've got Spotlight, the X22.
Yeah, the Spotlight's usually an interview with somebody most of the time.
And this is the interview with this guy, but these are the interviews he's been giving.
I'll tell you, they're unbelievable. I mean, they're so eye-opening. And look, you remember when UR Free TV got a hold of our paperwork out west, and they said, look at this, a grand jury, this and that. Right away, they killed our stuff. That's when you really saw them starting to ban our stuff online. You know, we were about ready to go viral at that time. And I really believe that they made a concerted effort to keep our stuff down, you know. And I think it was about that time we got attacked by the Southern Poverty Law Center, too, if you remember right.
Yeah, so, but it wasn't UR Free TV. It was a couple of other different Patriot or Liberty Group programs that were reasonably popular at the time. And they were reading our papers and so on. And
yeah, there was more than one, but UR Free was one of the ones that ran our...
Did, too, at a little later.
Right. Day. And it was starting to fly out there because people were excited when they saw this paperwork. Look at, there was a, there was a docket number. It was filed in court. That, you see, if they wouldn't have killed it, and those people would say, what do you mean you didn't hear the case? You see what I'm saying? We can't push it through ourselves, but if people knew that case was there and they say, what happened to docket number such and such, these judges would be in trouble. There would be a spotlight on them, and we know they don't operate good in the light. They're like cockroaches. They run when the light comes on. So now that the algorithms on Google and YouTube, which are one of the same, and Twitter and all them are all, look at all these things are controlled by two corporations, and they're all in bed together. With George Soros and Bill Gates and all that, these corporations are helping run the world and run our voting because they have that much influence. And really, when this goes down, we cannot let them have that kind of power ever again, because this internet is basically our encyclopedia, our dictionary. It needs to be protected under the First Amendment just as much as a book or anything else does. More so since they're not printing books anymore. This is where the information is. So that information should be sacrosanct. You know, it should be protected. They should not be able to go in. And basically what they were doing is this. If you ever read George Orwell's 1984, he talks about how they went back to the newspapers and they would erase anything that didn't agree what they said today, anything in yesterday that was contradictory. They killed it. They burned it. They got rid of it. That's exactly what was going on in America. They're actually changing the meanings of words and think they're taking them right out so that, and you know, people my age, we had dictionaries, we have knowledge. But our kids, they don't know. They don't know that what this is or what this isn't. And they're pulling stuff. You know, you pull up Black's Law Dictionary, they're going in there and they're pulling stuff out that they don't want people to have, and just eliminating it like it wasn't there to begin with. So very, very important. And I think this is a very good one. If you haven't watched any of these X-22s, this one, you listen to this guy. It's as interesting. It's more interesting than a Tom Clancy novel because it's true and it's happening right now in real time. It's a good story, and everybody should listen to it. And it gives you an idea of what Trump and the Patriots are doing, in as far as how he's dealing with these. You know, Google's like the head of the beast. He really is, and he's in there. Making a deal with them. He's dealing with the devil, you know what I mean? So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. And the other thing is these governors are becoming tyrannical around here with this lockdown, and they want to lock us down more and more and more. You know, Cuomo's going to outlaw cigarettes is the next thing, and they're going to make it so you can't even walk down the street. Oh, we got to stop this thing. Look, if we don't get back to work, we'll have more people dead from the financial fallout than we will from the stupid virus that they're claiming. You know, and like Trump said, you can't make the cure worse than the disease. And if they can bring our economy down.
On top of that, there are cures out there now. There are three cures, and they're going to release them.
And let me tell you what, Cuomo.
They're already using it.
Cuomo. And the governor of Utah and another governor, I don't know who, outlawed those cures.
Governor Cuomo may go, and his father, I don't know if his father's still around, they might go down to take a ship tour and never come out of that ship.
Well, you know, I've heard those hospital ships coming in that they're also going to take prisoners out with them, like the politicians.
That's exactly it. Well, you know, they showed, I forget, it might have been on the X-22 I saw this, but it could have been on maybe... DCP,
I think X-22 did have it.
Where they did, when the boat came, left, I think it was down in Virginia, they left to come to New York, and on the way out, it circled around, and when you look at the circle, it came off with a design of a Q. And that was kind of interesting. I don't know where they got that snapshot from, but it's real interesting. In any event, let's get back to the program. I'm going to be passing things over to you shortly anyway, so...
I want to put a plug in for Terry, because we're having a lot of problems with communications, phones, computers, and this, and because everybody's home and the lockdown and all this, that's what they're blaming it on. But you know, one of the things that's going to happen is there's going to be a blackout. So So if anybody hasn't got a ham radio and hasn't worked on it, and now you're not going to get your license because they're not giving the test.
Well, I think
still...
maybe certain things might be blacked out, but not everything. I don't think a lot of the internet's going to be up, I think, and running.
Yeah, I do too, but, well, I'm telling you, people are having trouble getting through on their phones, and it might not be because they're blacking it out. It might be because everybody's home and they're using them all day.
That could be the reason, yeah.
You know, they've oversold their infrastructure, never designed for everybody to be using it at the same time. So regardless of why the communication goes down, if something important happens, it would be very nice if we had people in all 10 of those areas that we drew that map up who had ham radio capabilities that where we could still communicate in real time in case, God forbid, we needed to get information out or whatever, you know. But I'm just giving a plug for the ham radios. If you've forgotten about it, you should think about it.
No, I haven't forgotten about it. It's part of the plan. When people connect on the county level, every one of them should reach out to anybody in the county that is ham operator and invite them to the meetings to participate and be, you know, available should an emergency arise in the county, and especially if, you know, the sheriff were to call a posse comitatus or whatever. But any emergency, they should be available. And that's what they do. So I'm sure they'll be more than happy to connect with that group who's working with the militia, working with the juries, working with the administrations, as far as the grand jury and the trial jury is concerned, working with the committee men, and also dealing with so many other problems that we the people need to deal with. But we've let them deal with everything. We need to take control. All right, well, let me finish up to see what else is available.
Oh, I just want to say, in Greene County here, and I don't know how many other people's counties in New York have done it, they've put ham radio channels in their 911 system, so they're there, which is really cool, you know, because you're
volunteer. Well, I'm going to try to set up a meeting here in my county. I'm not going to push too hard. I was going to try to do something next week, but I may or may not do something, at least planning. Let's see how things go with the...
You're not allowed to meet, don't you know?
Huh?
You're not allowed to meet anybody, don't you know? You're locked down.
I know.
Okay.
But anyway, I am definitely going to plan a meeting in my county to be the one to initiate it. I can't control it and you know, manage it and orchestrate it. I've got too many other things to do, but I definitely want and will participate with it, and I'll be the initiator. I'll take whatever kind of responsibilities I have to take up until I can pass those responsibilities to someone else, which I think I could do rather quickly here in my county because we've got a lot of liberty groups. I know a lot of people. We've been involved with a lot of different things. I can make a couple of phone calls, and we can have 30 people together or more.
I'll give you a clue.
But my point, let me just finish my point here.
Yeah.
My point is that I'm going to do this because it's my duty and responsibility, and I think every single person in this room tonight, every single person listening to this audio during the week or whatever, or anybody getting this information at any given time, you need to get your counties organized. Look, we have district leaders, every district leader, get your county organized. Initiate it now. I mean, you know, plan on the next couple of weeks, maybe meet a month from now, and just put everything together. And if you got to move it because things aren't ready yet, fine, you move the meeting. But let's get it going. Open up a meetup group, meetup.com, set it up, pass it on to someone else once you get it going, once you get the meetings going. But get everything organized. Get your first meeting set up. Every district leader should be doing this. Every state coordinator. You know, we have almost 100 state coordinators. If you're hearing this message, you need to get things going in your county, okay? We have national leaders. National leaders in your county, let's get it going. Gerard, you and me, we need to get it going. You need to get Greene County going. I need to get Dutchess County going. I'll make a few calls to people in other counties I know and connect them up and get them going, at least in my immediate neighborhood, you know, Orange County, Ulster County, Greene County, Rockland County. You know, I know people in all those areas. I've been to those groups.
Yeah.
You do too, Gerard. I used to visit. You can go through all of the northern groups there and visit these people, get them going, and get them connected. And let's do what we have to do to take this nation back. Okay.
Look, I have a suggestion. There's a couple sites. I think one is QRL. Terry can help us with this. You can look up and see who is a ham radio operator in your county, and you'll probably want somebody who's ham radio extra, invite them to the meeting, because they love
Terry, if you or Terry can get me that information, we'll get it on this page for organizing your county. On
yes.
this page, I'm working on a video. Hopefully I'll finish it tomorrow. I got to make connection to our YouTube page, National Liberty Alliance, and I'll upload this video, and I'm working on, you know, tons and tons of educational videos, things that can be shown at meetings and get a discussion on and a focus. And it'll be talking and learning about all the things we're doing and the meaning of certain words or certain phrases, the difference between law and equity, you know, what's civil law, what's civil rights, you know, how did the 17th Amendment destroy us? What about the 16th Amendment? What did that do to we the people? Did it actually make us slaves? Because it did, you know. So all of these issues, all of these educational points, this is what we should be coming to the meeting for, to discuss business. And we lay out the whole plan on what can be done at a meeting, you know. Matter of fact, right here on the page, here's subject matter to be discussed and to be, you know, dealt with. But also, you know, there is a protocol, a meeting protocol. You know, you have old business, new business. The topic, the discussion, and closing the meeting. I mean, all the things, everything is laid out so that anybody who's wondering, well, how can I do it? How do we organize? Well, we laid out everything in bullet point form. We'll be given, putting lots of information up on this page. And we're going to create another page in the same area here that'll be for, like I mentioned earlier, it's going to be the structure of NLA. And you're going to have all of the real active leadership. And we'll have their names, their first name at least, and their phone number. So if someone comes online, they could be directed to that page and say, well, I'm trying to connect with someone in my county. We can quickly connect them to the right person. And the right person might tell them, hey, there's nobody in your county, but I'm glad that you're interested. Why don't you initiate your county meeting? Let's get things going. And I'll help you out the best I can, and I'll work with you to connect with another person and another person, and so on. We need to organize our nation, our counties, our grassroots. We need to do this now.
Okay.
Let me move over to questions and announcements.
Yeah, real quick, that website Terry just gave it to me, and I'll give it to you to put it on the site, but in case anybody wants to get a jump on this, it's www.rz.com, and that's the world's leading amateur radio website with news, tech, discussions, and practice ham radio tests. Very good site.
RZ.com?
QRZ.com.
QRZ.com.
And it has a listing of all the ham radios operators, at least in America. I don't know worldwide, but in America, you know, through the FCC or wherever that stuff is registered. Okay, I rest.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
Jen, wake up.
I'm awake.
Garage Reston. Any? What do we got? Any announcements? Any questions?
We have a couple of announcements, I guess. First, Jim Humble, who was the originator of the MMS, has just released a statement, which I alluded to in the newsletter, and it is going to be posted on the website under the natural healing calls. So far, more than 2 million people have used MMS, and about 175 countries have used MMS. And he has the first results back from using MMS on the coronavirus. So all the results so far are positive. So if you want to learn more about what might be used to control the coronavirus in case you get it or have friends who get it, go to the website and look under the natural healing call.
Also, get me that information. Well, hopefully tomorrow you and me will get together and we'll try to work through perfecting these two papers we have. And I do have some additional things to it done in red. But I'd like to get that information too, because I'll put it on this page here. We do have a page. It's underneath Q. Protecting yourself against from the coronavirus. And we give a protocol, okay? It's the protocol that I'm doing right now. So, and we also show people where they can buy all the necessary materials that they might need in order to maintain and protect their health and protect you against the flu and the coronavirus and any living pathogen that is not good for the body. You know, it doesn't destroy good bacteria, for instance, the flora in your belly. It doesn't kill that, but it does kill anything that doesn't belong in your body. You know, clearly God put this together for us to have. And it's natural, really natural. But in any event, we do have information here where you can buy it, where you can buy the MMS from. And I'll put the information here also that Dan will give me that's going to put on the other page, and you'll have it all in one place.
Not for nothing, but your liver makes MMS. They never tell people. They say, oh, you're drinking bleach, you're going to die, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Your liver actually makes it. And the problem is we have so many pathogens and chemicals that come into us today. Your body can't make enough to deal with everything that we go through. And so you need to supplement it with the stuff that you make yourself. It's simple.
Yeah, we also have a link on this page. It takes you over to the global cases. This is put up there by, what is it, the C, what's it called? Well, John Hopkins. You know, you can get information on what's going on. I don't know how true this really is, though.
You took the words out of my mouth, and not to interrupt again, but those numbers are skewed because they're not really testing who's got what. Anybody that has the flu and anybody that dies, they're calling it corona. And it's not.
Yeah, but again, I think there's a worldwide shutdown for a reason. We're going to come open to a whole new world, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this is playing right into it.
Yeah.
I do believe that it was a bioweapon released. I do believe that. I believe it was deadly. But I believe it's more under control than we realize. And I think there's exaggeration here, maybe. I don't know. But we do know there are three different things that they got for cures already. It's already in the system. It's just three different things that the FDA has already approved for, you know, using certain medications.
It was a malaria cure, one of them.
Right.
So it's been FDA approved.
That tells you when you hear malaria cure, well, hey, think of MMS. There's no better, quicker, safer, or better malaria cure than MMS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll read the book and it's just unbelievable. Well, in the first dosage, people who have had malaria for 20, 30 years, their first dosage, the worms were breaking out from in between their toes to escape. That's how serious and how bad they had malaria and how strong and powerful MMS is. And you know, Gerard and I have a doctor friend who cured himself of Lyme disease, and it took him 3 months. He was very well embedded. He had it for years. Couldn't get rid of it conventionally. And then he tried MMS. And that's Dr. Don. You remember Dr. Don? I think he moved out to Montana.
Yeah.
But he did a 3 month. It took him 3 months, and he cured Lyme disease. Okay, so that, and Lyme disease, you know, buries itself deep into.
Oh, history, it's insidious.
You know?
It's horrible.
Yeah. So it does take a while to get rid of. I mean, I've been on it now for over a month. I'm planning a 3 to 6 month focus on MMS to clean my body up to anything that I might have. But in any event, all right, let's get back to our program. Jan?
Okay. Yeah, the nice thing about MMS, it's indiscriminate. It kills bacteria, viruses, and parasites, and doesn't hurt a normal, healthy cell. And it will cure malaria in 24 hours with 1 to 2 doses. And there's nothing else out there like that.
Right.
It's amazing. Okay, the second
also,
thing.
Also, you know, when I use my nebulizer with it, I use the silver, they call it, as a matter of fact, I show where you can buy it. We sell the kit, actually. But where is
colloidal silver.
Yeah, colloidal silver. Here it is. Purchase sovereign silver.
Silver lung.
And you could buy it through us. You know, we get, I think they charge $349 for the kit. And I think we get $49 or something like that for everyone that we sell. But that goes to National Liberty Alliance, of course, and it helps to pay the bills. But in any event, colloidal silver is expensive. I mean, you know, you could make gallons of this stuff, you know. And, you know, it's the only thing you have to really buy is distilled water. Everything else comes in the kit. And, you know, a small bottle of colloidal silver, $20-$30, you know, I don't know, what, 8 ounces or something like that, 6 ounces, you know. So anyway, and colloidal silver you can use for everything. You know, if you have a wound, a burn, it helps to heal it quick. Amazing pictures I've seen of people with burns, first degree burns, second degree burns, third degree burns, and then, you know, months later, how well they healed, you know. So anyway, Jen?
Okay. As you know, we've been looking for 10 leaders for our 10 regions around the country, and we now have volunteers for all of them who we are in the process of interviewing now. So
yeah,
now
we need 10 more now, remember.
Yeah, and we need 10 more, and we also need helpers for the 10 that we have, particularly in areas 2, 9, and 10. 2 would be the California and Nevada. There's a huge number of people in that. And number 9 is Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York and New Jersey, Delaware and Maryland. So we really have a heavy load there, and we need probably 2 to 3 more people to help out in that area. Number 10 goes down the coast, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee. So that's another area there's a lot of people in, so we could use a lot more helpers there. So if you're so inclined and would like to be a helper rather than a leader, we have a need for you, and we'd be delighted to have you sign up. Just send an email to jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. And that's the only other announcements I have. We have a whole bunch of questions.
I will do a few questions. I don't know that we're going to do many, but we'll see what we get to.
Okay. The first question is, does this coronavirus hysteria hyperactivity have anything to do with the usurpation of the Constitution by the deep state foreign agents?
I'm going to say that again. Does this what?
Does this coronavirus hysteria hyperactivity have anything to do with the usurpation of the Constitution by the deep state foreign agents?
Well, I think, and maybe Gerard might want to pipe in his thought on this, but my thought is that I believe it's a bioweapon. I believe they dropped this bioweapon. I believe that Trump and the Patriots were aware of that possibility, and it was right on top of it, and has been trying to, and now is using it as their cover in order to do what they have to do. And I think at the end of the day, of course, you know, if we're going to be honest and we're going to have, you know, clarity and truth and an open government, transparent government, then at some point Trump will reveal the story. Hey, a lot of this was a cover-up. We took use of this in order to do what we did, and look what we've done. We saved the nation. We got rid of the IRS, got rid of the feds, but we got rid of all these corrupt people. We got rid of all these people robbing money from us, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think, of course, if it could have been prevented, I'm sure they would have prevented it, but I'm sure they're aware of it and were watching for it and a number of other things. And clearly they had a plan. No matter what kind of a catastrophe they would get going, clearly they had a plan to use that plan to turn it around, and clearly it has turned around on them. As we can see some of the news and governors, oh, we got to go 70 days. Oh, we got to go 3 months, you know. Yeah, all this craziness, total destruction of our nation to do that. And again, at this point in time, it is a serious virus, but I am hearing lots and lots of cures being already, because they're calling them trials, okay? And people, I have heard that people who have taken it, there's one test they did with 350 people, where they gave a certain one of these, one of three, you know, drugs, whatever it is. And out of the 350, they had 100% recovery over that. And within 3 to 5 people that took this that were on respirators, that they gave it to them, they recovered and came off the respirator, at least came off the respirator within 3 to 5 hours. And recovery was quick, I'm hearing, just a couple of days. So something's already out there. It's being used, using under the guise of testing, and once he reveals that, then that's going to open up the nation. You know, then the threat's gone. And I also heard, you know, I heard Trump say yesterday that they now have a test, a five-minute test you can do yourself. I mean, that's fantastic. A five-minute test. You'll know in 5 minutes whether you have been affected or not. And I know that they said they're very close to a, what do they call it? Not a cure, but a, to prevent you from getting it, an inoculation. What do they call that?
It's a vaccine, and I won't be taking it.
That's the word. Well, look, if it's coming out through this administration under their control, the key problem to any vaccine, particularly, and mostly, is mercury, and I'm sure there's some other things. But I think on this one, we might be able to trust it, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully, that world is going to change, too, and it will. Okay, anyway, next question.
Can NLA confirm that Title 18 of the United States Code is not constitutional for the federal government, but could be enacted by the individual states?
Absolutely not. USC 18 is for the bureaucrat, for agencies, for people that are working in, particularly in the federal government. And it can be applied towards anybody in a state government, anybody that's part of the government can be applied for commercial activities or illegal trafficking, you know, commercial trafficking, particularly through states, it can be applied in all those areas. But it cannot be applied upon the people, the people. If you were unlawfully trafficking weapons, for instance, then they can get you on those codes, 1842 and some others. But if you sold one weapon, if you have one weapon and you sold it to someone else in another state, that's not trafficking, and that has nothing to do with you, and they can't hold those things. They can't hold those codes up against you. So that's the answer. What's next?
Okay. When will the government by consent book be available to buy or to have printed?
Well, good question. You know, with all the things going on and things coming to a head, my plan is to catch up on all paperwork this week. That's a real good possibility. And then I will be focusing my time on educational PowerPoint videos particularly, and awaiting for the next session of papers, which will probably be a month or two down the line at least. It'll also open me up more time to really push forward for a finding someone to, take the book, to publish it. So, goodness, I got to get on to that. Maybe next week, or maybe the end of the week, I might find time to start making some phone calls, talking to some people, and get it out. I don't know how long it takes to get it into print. Of course, you know, we have perfected it to the best we can. I do have some things I want to add into there and change it yet, but I can be looking for a publisher while I'm doing that. But once the publisher gets it, then they have to go through perfecting it and putting it together for publishing. I don't know how long that takes. And then after that, then they start pumping them out. But I do want to get a regular publisher to do this. And I'm planning on first call is the NCCS. National Center for Constitutional Studies, because they put out all of these great patriotic books, The Making of America, Benjamin Franklin, The Real Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, I mean, all this great stuff. Matter of fact, I told Brent he should try to connect with them, so, and I know he made the phone call, I don't know how he's doing on that, because the books that he's written, the militia book, definitely they would take on, And even his common law book, I believe, he's already got a publisher for that one. But anyway, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I will be working on it this week or next week for sure to find a publisher. Next.
What does the U.S. Constitution say about declaring a national state of emergency?
Well, insurrection, particularly, any kind of a state of emergency, you know, the president could call a state of emergency. Congress has written the law statutes on his powers and authorities. I think it's under Article 3, if I remember. Let me see. Maybe I can find it real quick. Not Article 3, I mean Title 3. Yeah, the president's under Title 3. So if you want to know the powers that he was given, Congress already has written the statutes for that. You can go to Title 3. I recall it's over 1,000 pages, a lot of stuff there. And he's got a huge amount of power. And in some cases, he may have more. I don't know that he has more powers than actually than the powers could be used to be abused. Maybe that's something we need to visit once we get onto the other side to make sure, you know, a president doesn't have too much power. But definitely Title III is the law for the president, and it spells out his powers and authorities, particularly in any time, in any case, at any time, of course, but especially it lays out things in states of emergencies, what he can do. So, next, and usually for insurrection is one of the main purposes of the problem, but look, we have a medical situation, at least it appears to be a medical situation, and he's using his presidential powers, and rightly so. Okay, any other questions?
I am a participant in a joinder case due to a non-judicial foreclosure. The decision and order was sent out in mid-March 2020 to the defendants in my case. There were a minimum of 3 defendants, including a judge, and not one defendant has recognized the complaint, and all defendants have ignored it due to Michigan court rules. What is the next step I need to take? A writ of execution?
There is no next step that he has to take or she has to take. You know, that's the status quo. He's being met by the status quo. And we're about ready to rock their ship, I believe, in the next weeks or so. We were speaking about that earlier today. Tonight's program, it's a lot about that, taking back the courts. And the next paper it sets the stage for that. The next paper is the final paper, but it sets the stage for when the power vacuum takes place. And it's up to the people. It's up to you, and it's up to me to fill that power vacuum by taking these positions of power. And otherwise, of course, then elected people will continue to take it. Some group will form an organization and snake their way in somehow and take control of the committeemen again or the court system again. Again, we have to do it. We have to step up and take it. But I do trust and I do believe justice must come. We're not interested in half a justice. We want justice. And you can't ignore what we have put together and all of the evidence that we have compiled. And you're going to see next week when we read this paper, because we'll share the paper and people will be able to look at it online, and we'll do a sharing of the screen here. But you're going to be surprised on how many papers we actually filed, and all of that is evidence, okay? And every paper, you know, they did not respond to. We were met with silence, okay? So they didn't respond, no response. So once we lay that, you know, again, that cannot be ignored. How can you ignore 30 or 40 habeas corpuses? People are in jail. You know, how can you ignore it? The wrong person put it in, the wrong group put it in, it didn't look good to the way we wrote it. I mean, what is it? What is it? You know, the only thing necessary for that habeas corpus to go forward is really just an affidavit. You don't need nothing more, and you can write it on a piece of toilet paper, swear to it, and give it to them, and put on a topic, I want a habeas corpus. I want due process. It doesn't take anything more than that. And yet, you know, we've followed a certain procedure and a process. We've put in the proper paperwork. We've written information, we've laid it out, the authorities, we put the affidavits in there, we did everything. And who is this king that thinks he can step up on his with his little hammer there and decide not to hear it and to allow that person to continue to be in prison? That is evil. And if I have my way, I will strongly suggest, if I had my way, that judge should do at bare minimum, maybe 3 or 5 days, whatever, some number, okay, for every day that that person was in jail. If the person was in jail for a year, that judge should be in jail for 3 years. You know, biblical principle, you know, on restitution, you know, if you steal a man's ox, you got to give him back 3 or 4, you know, and that's just the principle, okay? Look, you took the person's liberty. They need to be compensated. And we do that with money, but they also need to get justice against this individual. That was an evil act, and they need to suffer for that act. And what about that one judge Gerard had brought up some years back? he was boasting that in his, he's retiring and boasting that in his career he must have given away 1 million years of people in prison. Well, maybe that judge should go to jail for 3 million years. Of course, he'll never serve it all, but the principle is there. Anyway, justice will be met. I do believe that, and I think it can be done by summary judgment. All of these nonjudicial foreclosures can be handled by a just judge, and summary judgment doesn't have to go to a hearing. There is nothing to hear. The evidence is clear. There's nothing to talk about. There was no due process. They came after you illegally, and these people need to return each individual back to their original state of being and, of course, pay restitution beyond that. Which we put up $1,000 in real money, face value, and we made it clear we want specifically Morgan silver dollars. So 1,000 Morgan silver dollars for every violation, unalienable right violation. That's what we're looking for in the nonjudicial foreclosures, and also in the violations of people in the cases where they're in the family courts and the children were taken away. I mean, all the cases, we're looking for restitution, and restitution in all the cases, including habeas corpus, in all these cases can be done. Summary judgment can be done in a snap of a finger with a just judge. Because, you know, summary judgment's the only lawful summary judgment in law when you're talking about things of this nature, okay? The only just one is one that finds for the people to protect their rights, their unalienable rights. So it should be a no-brainer, and it should go quickly. But again, we have to get to the other side, and I think we're very close to crossing that line to go to the other side. The question is how wide is that line? I think it's about 12 to 14 days. It will continue further than that, but that's going to be the real hard-hitting time. All right, next question.
I would like to do an intake form for an infant abduction / kidnapping from a hospital over 30 years ago. Is a 30-year-old infant abduction kidnapping too old for the amicus curiae / joinder for National Liberty Alliance?
What will decide whether your case can go forward or not is if you can gather the evidence, if the evidence is still good enough, fresh enough to convince the jury. If there are people with maybe witnesses to certain things and they're credible and they can articulate themselves and be credible to a jury, then absolutely. There is no statute of limitations in common law. That's only in civil law. That's only in statutes and all those things. There's nothing in common law. So any kind of a case, a criminal case, there is no statute of limitation. Any case, you know, any violation against you, the case could be 50 years old. Most likely you won't be able to get the evidence fresh enough to prove your case, and maybe a lot of the witnesses are gone or can't be found, and so the case depends on that. That's the only thing that can hinder that case. Next.
Okay, next question. In the event of martial law.
By the way, how many more questions do we have?
Oh, a couple, three, four.
Maybe we'll make this one the last one. We'll pick them up next week. But go ahead.
Okay. In the event of martial law, how can we exercise our unalienable rights? Here in the Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, as of 8 this evening, we are on a stay-in-your-house quarantine. Is this selective action an indictable offense on behalf of the governor? Where in the Constitution is this justification authorized?
Well, that's maybe a good question, but look, I'm not against, what they're doing here. I think everybody is responsible, has to be responsible, to do their best to prevent this virus from transferring. We don't know really how serious it is. I do believe that it's a serious virus for certain individuals, of course, but there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of exaggeration. Some of it done on purpose in order to be a camouflage and cover things up in order for other operations to take place. That also is necessary because somehow this government, this conspiracy, these people in our government that have conspired to destroy our way of life, to destroy our republic, our constitution, our common law and everything, who we are as a people. You know, they've been working at this for a long time, and desperate measures, you know, desperate situations will call for desperate measures, extraordinary measures. So I don't see this at this point in time as being bad. I think once Trump kind of lifts things up and the cure is out, the governors and all these other people will have no choice but to back off. And, of course, if they were to continue forward with that, then I know I would ignore them here in this state. And I think enough people would ignore them that we wouldn't be able to do anything about it. So, but right now, I think it's pretty wise to continue down the road that is being suggested by the people in power at this moment in time. And I wouldn't be so relaxed if Hillary Clinton was president and this was going on, of course, because I would believe they're coming out for me at that point. So,
look, right now, if you're out and they say you're not supposed to be out, like over there in Pennsylvania, they can arrest you and give you a 6-year sentence. And as far as I'm concerned, it's ridiculous.
How can you get food? That would be a stop.
Look,
what are you going to do with that?
Exactly, because, look, unless they can prove you have the virus, I don't think they can quarantine you. They have to prove you have it first.
Yeah,
then
they have
a justification.
Look, unless you injure somebody, without an injured party, there is no crime. And now, if you go out, you know, and you ignore the law, and then you end up giving it to someone and they can prove it, then you know, then you're responsible. But if they can't, there's nothing much they can do about it. But that doesn't mean we should be disobedient to it. Look, I'm only going out when it's necessary. I go to the store and I'm trying to do that as minimum as possible. You know, I still pick up my mail and do a few things, but I just don't go many places. And because I have my daughter's in jeopardy here because she has certain problems, so I can't afford to bring anything home.
Well,
and it's just wise right now.
We're supposed to stay at home, but you're allowed to go to the store.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you get some of these governors are going, oh, no, you can't leave. Look, the best they can do is say, we would like you to voluntarily stay indoors for 2 weeks. Don't go out.
That's what the president's asking for, and that's what
the
governor's
saying. Just volunteer. Don't be saying we're going to give you 6 years in jail if we find you out. That's overhanded baloney.
Yeah, but I'm sure that isn't in effect. I think it's just stupid people talking, you know, in politics in Pennsylvania there, and but they may not get voted in again, hopefully. But, you know, people have short memories. That's another problem. You know, they're up there voting R or D, and that is the problem, you know. Stop voting R and D, you know. But in any event, okay, that's going to be the last question. Let's move on. I don't know, is Brent here? Yep, I see Brent. Okay, why don't we pass things over to Brent? Do you want to you want me to shut my screen off? Do you want to put your screen on or what, Rod?
Oh, I don't care.
Right, I'm going to shut mine off. If you want to share a screen, I don't know. But I'm going to shut mine off because I'm going to do a little work in the background.
Yeah.
But we're going to move over to Brent. Brent, are you unmuted yet? Star 6 to unmute.
I thought Brent could unmute himself, although I don't think he's in here as a host tonight.
Yeah,
he is.
Is he? Yeah.
Got it. Brent? Now I got it.
There you go. I'm going to pass it over to you. Try to keep it a little short because we don't have much time and we do have people in the questions.
Okay.
Six people out there, so.
Yeah, well, I see your point. It's getting
okay,
up
so
late.
Let me just introduce you. This is Brent Winters, the author of the book, The Excellence of the Common Law. Brent's website is commonlawyer.com. Brent, you got the mic, and Gerard, you got the controls, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm shutting my sharing screen off, if I can figure that out.
Well, thank you so much. My comments are my own. They may or may not comport with the point of view of National Liberty Alliance, but they're nice enough to let me comment. I'm going to do it. I thought, given the circumstances, when I first saw what was coming down, I said, oh, this can't amount to much. And it's going further. It's going further than I thought it would go. And people are reacting more to it than I thought they would. I just got word from a friend up in Idaho that there was a pastor of a church in town who's a member of the state legislature, the best known one they have, apparently, and he's keeping his church open. Somebody, some do-gooder, called the sheriff and said, they've got a church open down here and they're holding church. So he looked online, of course they were broadcasting online as well, and he said, well, I'm not going to bother them. Looks like they're keeping their distance one from another. And I thought to myself, well, what if they didn't keep their distance one from another? Were you going to go down there and arrest them? We live in bizarre times. And the question is, are we under martial law? And the answer is yes and no. De jure, as a matter of law, we aren't. But de facto, as a matter of fact, they want us to believe we are they. Those guys, the useful idiots of the evil empire. What's happening here? I've talked to everybody I know that I think might be a little bit more on the inside than me, and I find that the ones that I think ought to be on the inside are saying, I can't figure out what's behind this. It's too big. Well, that's right. It's too big. Well, who runs this world? Well, who runs the governments of this world? Well, it appears to me that the bankers run the governments of this world, not just any bankers, but the ones on top. They're the ones that run things, and they're lunatics. Yeah, they're lunatics. They don't care about patriotism. They don't care about countries. They don't care about law. They have power, and they're going to do whatever they can get away with. Looks to me like, let's assume that DJ Trump is a white hat. And I'm hoping he is, and I have no reason to believe he isn't. Matter of fact, it looks to me like when he holds these press conferences, he's doing so to create the perception to those that don't really support him that much that he's doing everything he can to make sure everyone is taken care of, as though he's our father or some silly notion. But he's doing it because that's what the politics of the situation seem to be demanding of him. But if he's the good man that we, and a good man, no, there are no good men. If he's if he's got the right ambitions and he has the enemies I have, and I hope he does, then that means that all of what's happening is directed toward destroying him. He's very powerful, more powerful in many ways than other presidents before him. The whole world is watching DJ Trump. And the whole world speaks as though he's the leader of the world. But those that want to control the world, the vermin, the useful idiots, they're out there and they want to destroy him because he's pushing ideas that they don't like, for instance. Now, this is the reason it appears that he's on our side. It appears that he's on our side because he put out an order today, from the word I got, he put out an order that the men and women that are selling firearms and the firing ranges are necessary businesses that have to stay open. And I said, well, that would be odd if he were on the other side. That looked good to me. And if that's true, the evil empire has no choice but to foment utter confusion. Utter confusion. What they like is war and blood and gore and guts and fear. Why? Because that's the way they make money. That's why. And that's the only thing in the world that matters to them. As Jesus Christ said, you only got two choices in life. Two. These and no others, these two choices, and these and no more. You will either attribute all worth to wealth, or you will attribute all worth to Jesus Christ. You have two choices. That's what he said. That sounds pretty arrogant for a man to say something like that. But, well, if you're God, it's not arrogance. You're in a class by yourself. There is no competition. You just are who you are. Well, that being true, if I were to take that for truth, I would have to conclude that my enemies are the ones that attach all worth to wealth. As the New Testament puts it, mammon. Mammon, that means material wealth, among other things. What do we do in the meantime? Are we under martial law? Well, like I said before, de jure, as a matter of law, no, we aren't. But as a matter of fact, they want us to believe we are. Don't get it into your head. This is all a matter of perception. Don't let your mind go there. No, you're not under martial law. What justifies martial law? Well, a suspension of the courts. If our common law courts are suspended, and that's the only kind of courts we have in America fundamentally, for the most part. Well, we've got admiralty courts, I know, and we've got equity courts, but fundamentally, if the common law courts are closed because we can't open them, then that's a martial law kind of a situation. That calls for martial law. And who has the power to declare it? Who has the power to suspend our common law, the justice of our courts, due process? Well, I would say Congress has that power, not the President of the United States. So don't be thinking that we're under martial law. Be careful what you do. Is there a virus out there that could hurt you? Always has been. Still is. Still is. Shouldn't be breathing on other people. Like I said on the Patriot Soapbox the other day, don't be like the Frenchmen and kiss each other. That's silly. We shouldn't even be hugging each other. Why don't we go back to shaking hands like men used to do? Now's the time to wake up. All of this can backfire on the evil empire, and I intend for it to happen, and I look for it to happen. I look for it to happen. They're trying to shut down the churches, shut down the businesses. They're trying to show DJ Trump who's in charge, just like they did with Ronald Reagan when they had him shot. Yeah, wait, just wake up there, Ronnie. I don't think you know who's running things here. Wake up, DJ. We can make your life miserable. Wake up, America. You don't understand who's in charge here, and we're not going to show you. We're the folk behind the curtain. Well, what do you do in such a situation? What do you do? Well, if you think that the situation is touchy and the police are starting to ask you questions you don't want to answer and you sense their spirit isn't right, don't talk to them. Don't talk to the police. Don't talk to the sheriff's deputies. That's a powerful weapon. That's your responsibility. They take away your weapons, you still got that weapon. You smell a rat, button your lip. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. In the meantime, of course, that means that you don't have any obligation to tell anybody much anything. They just, of course, sent out the census questionnaires. I don't know if you filled yours out, but don't tell them all the things that they ask on that thing. They don't have a constitutional right to know how many bathrooms you have in your house, and et cetera. Well, that's the kind of thing that we need to be cognizant of. Know our common law, maxim of our common law. There is no harm in abundance of caution. There is no harm in abundance of caution. Oh, I think it's a good idea to stay away from people for a while. Of course, if you stay away from people, you're staying away from people you don't want to talk to, you don't want to reveal information to. They're looking for opportunities to drag people off to hospitals that don't want to go, to take firearms that they have no business and no right to take, to bust into people's homes and take children. That's not changed, has it? They've been doing that for a long time. They just want to push harder. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Whatever happens, we know this. The evil empire is out to kill, to steal your property, and destroy. To kill your body, to take your life, to steal your property, to take your liberty, and to destroy your freedom. Those are the very words of Jesus Christ, that the evil one comes to kill, to steal, and destroy your life, your liberty, and your property. That's what you need to be careful of. All of us need to remind each other. I know you know. Well, John, I'm going to get off, or Gerard, thank you again for letting me say a few words.
Okay, thank you, Brett. I'm going to go ahead and open up the queue here. It looks like the first person is Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara. You've been unmuted.
Thank you. Am I limited to one comment or question?
Well, not well. Let's see what it is.
I'll be to the point.
Well, just so we don't take too long, because we only got about 25 minutes.
I'll try to be really, really quick, and I want to thank you all for your hard work, your efforts. One thing I want to ask is, what can be done when the nuclear power plant on an island in Minnesota, which was put there on Prairie Island against the knowledge of the people who lived there, back I think it was in the 60s or 70s, and its waste is in barrels, and the nuclear commission that has its own rules about disposal will not dispose of it, and they've taken them to federal court, and nothing was done. So the people there, who are Dakota people, they're a small community, they went to the state of Minnesota. And the state of Minnesota proclaimed, well, it was out of their jurisdiction. So here we are, flood stage river, the Mississippi River, and the potential hazards to all life has been going on for years. I've known about it 2 years. I can hardly contain my emotions about it, and I just wonder if that's something that the common law courts can address and get immediate restitution. That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is...
Let's respond to that one first. Okay. I got just a little bit to say about that. I don't know. Maybe even Brent might have something to say about that. I don't know. It's kind of a difficult problem. There are certain things that government has a right to do, you know, but they have to be fair about it. But something like that, you know, bear in mind, you could take it into court and get it into a common law court, and as long as you can get a jury where the jury decides, you might be able to convince the jury. But you got to bear in mind, I don't know what the law is on that, because, again, government has certain authorities to do certain things. I don't know if you can add to that, Gerard or Brent.
All I can say. When she said Dakota, are you talking about an Indian people Dakota, or are you talking about?
Yes, I verified. I went there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is on Indian property.
Well, it's a settlement. They were exiled, of course, after the hangings of the uprising and the hangings.
Yeah,
of
but
a lot
where
of
they put this plant is that on their territory?
Well, yeah. Some of the Dakota people sneaked back in and lived on that island, and so it's called a settlement. It's not a reservation, and they've had to leave because of the sickness.
Well, how long were they there for before the flood?
Oh, for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Oh, well, then, hey, look, they already got establishment. I think they could win in a court. Ready.
Yeah, that's the good point, that the Indians were there for hundreds of years. That should be helped.
Yeah, I think they could win
situation.
In a court of law with a jury pretty hands down, in my opinion.
Oh, well, of course, I'm mostly concerned for the spillage of the nuclear waste at high flood stage or an earthquake for everybody concerned all the way down to the Gulf. Anyway, I just pray about it all the time, so I'm glad that you concur that this could be brought up.
Well, so they have new ways of taking care of nuclear waste. I don't know why they wouldn't want to take it out of there, but there's new stuff that came out recently. It's not... they're able to take it and neutralize it like they never have. They used to just bury it in the salt flats in Utah there because it was very stable and it was down under. But, you know, and they got everybody thinking the wrong thing because they say, oh, it has a 300,000-year half-life. That's terrible. No, the longer the half-life, the better. That means it's inactive.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes 350,000 years to get to half its thing, that means it's not throwing a lot of radiation off. So, you know, they got us thinking that these things are worse than they are. I don't know why they don't just pick that stuff up. And, you know, they have an ability, what they call Brown's gas, which is something that's made out of splitting water, running electricity through water, making hydrogen and oxygen. well, when you recombine it, they have what they call Brown's gas torches. You put nuclear waste under that, it burns it up and makes it inert. So I don't know why they're playing around. They have right. technology to take care of this. I don't know what their problem is or who's doing what. And I don't even know how volatile that nuclear waste is. You know what I mean? If it's, like I said, if it has a real long half-life, and people think that's terrible because it's gonna ruin our rivers for 350,000 years. That's not the case. The one that has a short half-life is the one that gives you cancer instantly. So it's kind of the opposite of what we're thinking all the time, you know. But anyway, that's all I know about it, and I don't know why they would leave it there. It seems ridiculous. They can deal with it. Somebody can deal with it.
I know a few years back, Canada and the United States were going to start burying it under the Great Lakes, all kinds of nuclear waste from the country. And then the Michigan public, and I don't know who else, they raised a ruckus, and they said they were going to put off for 5 years this decision. So that's coming up soon, and so I'm going to be having to watch out for that. My second thing, is it treasonous to sell... like the port in Los Angeles was sold to China some years back. Is that treasonous, and can that be turned around where we have...
Donald Trump did turn it around.
Oh, he turned it around?
Yes, he did. He took it back from them, and it was treasonous. It was ridiculous. Clinton made that go through with no review. They were making money with the whole uranium thing. That was part of the thing they gave that port to China. That was supposed to go under a congressional review, because anything that was considered strategic, we can't get rid of without having a hearing on, because if it's going to affect our national security, which, look at that, absolutely does. How can you have China in control of our two of our major ports? One in Florida and one up by Washington State. But anyway, Trump took that back in the first year. He made them sell it back to an American corporation.
Oh, thank you for that information. The last thing, can we call out the militia to protect our schools? They're putting 5G all over the country on schools and around schools right now, taking advantage of the fact that people aren't paying attention. But according to Sarah Westall's people, they're sending her facts and videos that they're, in fact, putting 5G up on schools everywhere.
Yeah,
and
let me just respond to that real quickly, because I hear a lot of things that 5G is bad, and I sort of tend to believe that that's probably the case. But again, like anything else, I've learned my lesson in my life many times. When you just take what people say for value and you believe and you go forward and you don't look at the sources and the proof, in particular in this situation, and then you find yourself with egg on your face because you're out there supporting something that's not true. But I think, well, again, it's up to the people, and I'd be willing to spearhead this program. You know, once we settle things and get things fixed, in other words, get our justice system fixed and get the whole nation together, which may take till the end of the year, because I think it's going to happen that quickly, I really do, and we start building our grassroots to take, up the duty that they should be doing, and that is to take control of their government by controlling their grassroots on the county level. But at that point in time, maybe a year or so down the line, we could take it into courts. We can go investigate it and really spend the time to see if it really is dangerous. And I do suspect that it is dangerous. And if it is dangerous, we can stop it. Just like we can close down, not sure what state it is. Is it Utah, where they have this huge buildings where they and there's another one over in New England, I think, too. There's two of them. Where everything we do on the phones, email, everything is recorded.
Utah.
And we're being spied on everywhere. Well,
yeah,
that's got to be shut down.
Yeah,
that's got to be shut down. But we can't do that now, and we'd be wasting our time trying to do anything with it now. We need to take back the courts, take back our government, and then we can do something. And I do believe we could be very successful in that, shutting that down. What's it called? Wi-Fi 5?
It's 5G.
5G. It's 5G. We need to discover for sure. I have heard a lot of things where I've seen a lot of patriots, going towards a particular direction because somebody put out the alarm about something. And when I looked into it, you know, I see all this hearsay stuff, but I don't see the fruits, you know, the nuts and bolts to show me that this is true. They never, very rarely do people, and I think we're trained this way, they don't share their source. We have to share source and things like this, so we need to know the truth. And if we can go discover the truth, we may find out it's okay. And it is what we should be doing. Or we may find out, hey, we shouldn't be doing it. But I've seen some things where people are running, and they're wrong. They shouldn't be running with certain things because they're running with the wrong thing.
It's
so we've got to be careful, that's all.
Rocket science. They know if it's... The people that are in the business know. The ham radio operators know because it's a microwave frequency. And they already know that people that are using the 5G off the satellites, when they get off the plane, they have flu-like symptoms. It's radiation poisoning. And from my research, 5G doesn't make anything run any faster. They can run it just as fast on 4G. But 5G is very good for the AIs. The AIs can utilize it to learn from each other, and it's much more efficient with that. So they need it for this new transhumanism world that they want to hook men and machines and make the machines smart. So that's why they're pushing it, because it works good for AI, and they want to have a central computer that runs everything, face recognition. You know, they want to give us this brave new world that you can't walk down the street. And China has it already. Do you know in China that you have to have a cell phone registered in your name? And that's how they know that 20 million people must have died, because 20 million people's cell phone no longer are online.
Right.
So what happened to them? They obviously died, and their phones are disconnected because the government facilitates that and pays for it one way or another, or they make the people pay for it. But if you're in China, you have to have a cell phone. It has to be connected to you. That's how they track you. That's how they use their social credit score. And look, I don't care how friendly Trump is with China, because I know he knows how to dance with the devil, but they're an evil. The people aren't evil. The leaders are evil.
Right.
Anybody that wants to control people like that dictatorial control, they have no compassion for human life at all. You're no better than a rat. So I don't, you know, the 5G, I think we're going to end up having to do something with. And somebody also said that the 5G that they're putting in isn't up to the same frequency that Donald Trump did something. Now, I don't, you know, you hear a lot of stories. That one I can't verify, that they claim that the 5G that he's having them put in isn't that real high frequency. It's more like 4G. So I don't know how he would have got that done or anything. I haven't, you know, but that's a rumor that's out there. Anyway, that's all I know about that.
According to Nancy Hopkins, a former Army and weapons person, she's only one source I've studied, but she said that it's part of the space fence plan, the sky, Starline, and space fence, and it's all required for the omniscience and omnipotence and all that stuff that the dark side wants to establish over all life on Earth. So, of course, they're going to try to dissuade people from telling what they know, but she said they use it as a weapon in Vietnam, that particular frequency, 1 millimeter deep, and that every hair on your body becomes an antenna to bring that into your cells, and it's very dangerous for babies, pregnant women, and et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, yeah.
Well, if we can get someone to spend the time to dig up all of the information on this, particularly the negative, the dangerous part of this, and if there's no way to be protected from the dangerous side, then let's gather the information together and we'll deal with it in the future. You know, we're always looking for help. We need lots of people to get involved with different committees. We need people to take positions on our district leaders. You know, we don't have enough district leaders. We've got the nation broken up into 10 sections. We need this. We got 10. We need another 20. I'd like to see 3 district leaders in each one of these districts. We need state coordinators. We need people in the counties to get active and do things. We need people. We need leaders on the national level here. We need more help. We need help doing research. We need help doing paperwork. We need paralegals. We need people. So anybody that wants to volunteer for this, if you have a lot of knowledge of this and you might have be able to volunteer for this and maybe get a few other people to work with you, let's gather all the evidence, and then when the time comes, we'll take it into court.
All righty. Thank
okay?
you.
But we should move on to the next.
Terry can back this up for me, but we know what transmissions antennas put out. When you get a ham radio license, you're supposed to measure your antenna. You're supposed to be so many feet. There's only so much power you can use. It's all because of that. This is ham radio frequencies. These frequencies are above that, which means they're worse. As a matter of fact, we know for years that the police radios they used to hold in the front and talk in with the little portables, they were getting cataracts in their eyes from that antenna going across their face. So what did they do? They gave them a hip holster. You know what happened when they gave them a hip holster?
Mm.
They got kidney cancer because it was down by the kidney. So this is nothing new. And you know, anybody that, they just dumbed us down is basically what it is, you know.
Yeah.
We know what frequencies are not safe, and when you're using microwave frequency, because that's what it is, it's a microwave frequency, that's dangerous. And
yeah.
and it's line of sight. I don't even think the 5G, the trouble is it doesn't go through walls and stuff good. So they got to put boosters up all over the place, and that's going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they got to put a booster in the building so that it can get to you, you know, I don't know. But I just know that the information's out there, and it's not rocket science. It's pretty much just, you know, science and physics and look at any ham radio extra could tell you about the measurements of what that thing is propagating, and we all know what it is. The military knows, and people that are in electronics know. Okay, I rest. We need to move on. We've killed this subject. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have, we got to who? Mike Watchdog from New York. Go ahead, Mike.
Gerard, how you
yes.
doing tonight? Hey,
good.
This is Mike. I talked a couple weeks ago about the land of trust, the common law trust on my property, and you guys didn't really have anything. I went to the website to look up the area that you told me to look at. I couldn't find anything.
Well, we have stuff on the common law trust up there. It's on a, you have to be a premier member to get to that page, and you can get to lots of forms and different information. You can download Black's Law. I mean, lots of stuff you can get there. And a premier member is someone who donates $5 a month or more.
I think he is a premier member.
That page. And I'll see if I can't find exactly where it's at. But go ahead, continue on your conversation.
Yes, I am a premium member. That's all taken care of there. But I couldn't find anything. I went through it a couple times. And you said possibly Brent might have had some information on that, but he wasn't there that night. And I'm wondering if he's still
there. Maybe he does. I don't remember whether I said that or not. Maybe I did.
Yeah, I probably did because I didn't know that much about it. And I know that Brent knows a whole lot more about trust than I do. And I don't remember what your specific...
I think it's on that page. I'm looking right now. But go ahead. Continue.
What was your question on that? What kind of what was that trust? Just say it again.
Okay, I bought my property's paid for. I don't have any deed filed. And I don't want to file the deed within the county or the state of New York. I want to put it in the trust so I can protect the property and not give them ownership over it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Brent, if you're listening and you want to comment on that, you know, feel free. I don't know if you feel comfortable commenting on that.
Well, yeah, you can put it into a trust. Again, you can create a common law trust to do this. And again, if Brent wants to respond, that's fine. I'm not seeing it on this page, so I must have put it somewhere else, but if I find it tonight, I'll pipe in on it, and if not, if I remember next week, I'll see what I can find.
Well, did you intend to transfer the property to another person as trustee?
No, I bought it. It was under a land contract. I paid it off 6 months ago, and she sent me the deed that she had, and she signed it over to me. But I never filed anything, Brett, and I don't know.
I get what you're saying, but just... If you didn't file it, that doesn't mean you don't own the property. That just means you haven't perfected the title, and it's not marketable. That's all that means.
Okay, so how can I perfect the property to prevent anybody from coming in and laying claim on it and saying that they had something and file another document on there and taking my property from me?
Well, are you vulnerable? Are you aware of somebody that's after you?
No, not at this point. I'm not.
Well, then you're free to either declare it. There are two ways to settle a trust. You declare it, that you declare that you hold it as trustee, or you transfer it to another person as trust for them to be trustee, and then you have beneficiaries, choose beneficiaries that would benefit from it. The simplicity of it is this. When you settle a trust, you divide title into two parts. Legal title goes to the trustee. Equitable title or beneficial title, those are synonyms. Equitable or beneficial title goes to the beneficiary or the beneficiaries, however you want to divide it up. Now, if you already own the property, you can declare it now to be held in trust as long as you name beneficiaries and are specific about it by name. But if you want to transfer it to another trustee and then maybe name yourself as a beneficiary, you can do that. But a trust is not a corporate entity. There is no corporate entity. It's an arrangement of property where a real person, a live, living, hot-headed man or woman owns the property, and that is the trustee. There are only two ways to own property in our common law country. Either a real, living person holds title. By the way, legal title is ownership. Equitable title isn't necessarily. You got to have legal title to be the owner. But either a real person, we call a trustee, such a person, owns the property personal. And therein lies the great secret and the great power of the trust. A corporation isn't like that. An LLC, an LLP, a C Corp, an S Corp. In those situations, the corporate entity that the state has created is said to hold title to the property. Well, that's a silly fiction. You can't see it, the corporate body. You can't touch it. You can't smell it. You can't even lick it and get any taste of salt off its hide like you could yourself or another person, because it doesn't exist. It's a lie. But the courts recognize the corporate entity, and whatever the state creates, the state controls, the creature of the state. So that's the difference between a corporation and a trust. A trust is the real person that owns property, or a couple of people that hold it jointly, maybe trustees. And that's not a matter of being under any extra control of the state. But when you start talking about not putting on the rolls, that's always an interesting question. I've talked to other people that have done that. I've never heard anybody, though, say what the outcome was. And now there's a fellow out in California, I think, Oregon. I just remember his name. If you email me on the website, I'll try to find out his name and give it to you. He travels around the country delivering seminars on what he calls and what the law has called a low deal title. And you might learn something. I've never heard his lectures. I don't know exactly what he's doing. I know what a low deal title is, but his particular angle may be of interest to you. I think you can see him on the Internet. So again, I say send me a text, and I'll try to get his name to you, and you can maybe find him on YouTube as well.
There's another consideration here, because that I assume that property was on the tax roll from the previous owner. And they didn't take it off the tax roll when she sold it to you. And so at some point, they're going to give a bill on that property, and they don't care who the owner is. They just put the bill on the property. And eventually, what's that?
Exactly. That's what they're doing. They're still sending me the tax bills on it.
Yeah, and then eventually, they're going to foreclose and take it from you. In New York State, what they do is they will convert the deed before they foreclose so that you can't even go and redeem it. Because now they sell it as like it's their property, free and clear.
That's what I want to prevent.
Very tough. I went through this recently. We went to court with them, and they wiggled out of it because they told me that if you don't pay it, you're going to lose your right to it, and you won't even be able to take it to the Supreme Court because it won't be your property because we're going to convert the deed over. So I should have put the money in escrow, but I paid it. So then the lawyer went to the judge. He says, we want to dismiss the case because the taxes are paid and the point is moot. He was right, but he tricked us into paying it because he scared us into believing that they were going to come in 1 week, because we went right out to the very end of it. and they were going to take the property and convert the deed to the town, which I don't know how they do that, because they steal the equity and all. You know, for years and years and years, it's been tradition that if you owed taxes on a property and they sent it up to tax sale, and let's say you owed $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, and they sold the place for $100,000, well, you're entitled to the difference in that sale. And you have something like 30 days or something to go in there and claim it. But they're not doing that anymore. They're selling the property and stuffing the whole thing in their pockets by virtue of the fact that they've put this new real property tax law in that says that they can do it. But I think it's quasi-legal, because if you read the law, none of the towns have taken the necessary steps to make, and they're doing it in rem. They're doing it with no due process. They got lots of problems. They don't even really know what they're doing. They're just, you know, and they didn't, I know, like in my case here, the town never passed a law to make that whole, you know, easier way of them coming in rem and taking your property. The town was supposed to make the law. The state sent them this suggested resolution, and they made some kind of statement in their minutes that they were going to do it this way, but they never sent it up as a town law. So I think all the foreclosures are doing, at least in this town and probably other towns, because we FOIL requested to where that law was, and the State Department wrote back to us that they didn't have it on file. You know what that means? There is no law. If they didn't make the law, if the town didn't make the law, then the law is not in place. So they're doing a lot of funny stuff. You got to really research, and it gets really twisty and turny. And, you know, they make a lot of money because the county executive, he's getting a percentage, we found out, on all these foreclosures. He's getting a stipend for selling these properties. He's sticking in his own pocket. It's crazy. Well, there's crazy stuff going on.
They've already done that to me, Gerard. Yeah, my cooking shop, all my tools, all my vehicles, and my home, and my land, and everything I own. They took it away on a tax sale for $4,000, and they sold it for $20,000, and I got zip out of it. And I fought them in the federal court, and they threw it out on a 12B6. So I don't want this to happen to this place here, but I had a deed filed on the other property, though, and I was behind on my property taxes. I went in,
well,
I was like...
The reason why you couldn't be heard in the federal court is because they didn't have the jurisdiction to hear that kind of case. But what they could have heard, okay, if you would have couched your claim or your complaint in a proper way, you might have been able to get in there, and that is a violation of your right of due process to begin with, okay? So you got unalienable rights that's being violated. Your right of property, your unalienable right to have an own property and the right of due process has been violated. You know, that's where you could build a case from that. Not that you would win that way. You could, but it's, again, you're going up against the status quo. On the other side of things, I believe it will be totally different. Either we're going to have courts of justice or we're not. No halfway there. We can't have half a court of justice. We can't have half the justice. It's either we have justice or we don't. And right now we don't, so let's get justice.
Look, the other thing you want to do, and I'm going to tell you because I went through this battle and I know a little bit of something about it. If you read their definition of real property, you will find that you don't fit under their definition. It gives you a whole long definition. It's pages long, practically, that one definition, real property. And they talk about dockage and wharfage and this and that. And then at one point in there, it says, for a corporation. Well, are you a corporation? I'm not.
No.
So how do they move on us, taxing us on private property? And they're treating us like we're a corporation, and it even says it in the real property tax definition for a corporation, and all that other stuff that's in there. It's kind of like the income tax law, John, where you go, oh, you're making whiskey and tobacco and this and that. If you're a holder of this, we're none of those things. So technically, we don't have to pay income tax either, because if you read their law, that ain't me, and it's not you either. So
exactly. These
are things that maybe, like John's saying, once the deep state's out of there, right now these judges, they may not have the knowledge, but they also don't have the wherewithal, the gumption. They will not move against the status quo, because this is coming down from way up top, that those evil forces that run the world, they don't want you to be tax-free. They want everybody under their thumb. And that's too much freedom for them that you could actually own your property. And you don't own it if you're paying taxes on it. You're renting it from them. And when they evict you, they even put you down as a tenant. It says tenant. And then when they get the sheriff to kick you off, they actually put in the same thing that they put in for a scofflaw tenant. They're evicting you as a scofflaw tenant. So the whole thing's out of control. We're running out of time now, but these are things that you can look at and maybe John will get some more of that information about a trust, because I think it's a good idea to put a trust, and I think it's a good idea to try to do an avoidable title in this battle. So, but anyway, we'll look into more of that, because it's very important. If you can't own your property, look at your first right. Our rights in America are based on property rights. So, and your first piece of property that you own is your body, because they shouldn't be able to tell us what to do with our bodies, even though they try. But if you don't have a place to exercise that body, that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, you're not free. If I can tell you no pets, no this, no that, because I'm the landlord, like the government is, then you're not free. If we can't own property, we cannot be free. So
right.
It's a basic, fundamental right.
So when I do up a trust agreement, do I file it in the county? Or
I don't know. I think you need to file it. I mean, look at even when you're doing a loyal title, you file it with the State Department and that, I guess. I mean, if you look at right now, you got taxes that are going to come after you with it. You're going to end up losing it again. They're not going to want to hear nothing.
Well, I pay the taxes. I stay up on the taxes, so I don't lose it. I'm not going to take that. Yeah. But I just want to be able to protect the title on the property itself. And I someday want to be able to get it as private property, whereby it's non-taxable, because you can't tax private property.
Well, I don't know if you can do this, but I know that if you can put it in your name but not file the tax stamp. A lot of times property slips off the tax rolls. I mean, there's abandoned property, there's property that's landlocked and forgotten. I think that's a wedge in there also, because they have property in these towns and different places that nobody's paying taxes on. So if you can find out how they slipped off the roll, or how they, because when you put it in your name, there's a separate form that you fill out that you pay for the tax stamps. And I think that's where they get the jurisdiction to tax you, because what you're saying is this property is taxable. You're buying a tax stamp. It's just like filling out a W-4 or a 1099 for the government. What you're saying is, I am the subject of the tax. I am a taxpayer. That's what those forms do. That's why you have to pay it.
Right, right. And that's what I'm going to
do. You can look into that more. See if you can get it put in your name, but not file the tax stamps. The lawyers all file them, but if you know how to do it yourself, you may actually slip it through. And then you can take them to court and say they have no jurisdiction to charge me taxes. It's a private piece of private property. I didn't fill any tax stamps out. And that would be interesting to see what they would do with that. But
right.
We're way over time. I don't know if we're going to... I guess we got to stop now, because it's like...
Okay.
It's 8 minutes after. But it's interesting, and keep us posted. It's a good subject. It's something it's something that we're interested in.
Everybody can use it, for sure. And I just want to say one thing before I leave. John, get your phone fixed. I couldn't hear half of the conversation tonight because your phone is just so quiet and so low. You got to do something. Get a megaphone, maybe. Talking to a megaphone, that would help.
The one I'm talking to you right now on?
Yeah, it's so low.
Is anyone else here having a problem hearing me?
You know, you went up and down, John. You were good you were real low, and then you got loud again. I don't know what you touched.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been having a lot of problems. I've never had this kind of problem, and I've been
I had a lot of problems too, John. A lot of the time you were too low to understand.
Yeah. All right, I'll have to try to figure out how to fix that. All right.
Check it out. Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank
Later.
You, everybody.
Yep.
And thanks for coming, and we'll see you next week. God bless, and keep yourself educated and busy in your counties. Don't forget. Let's get out there, and let's get going. Now's the time.
Okay,
anyway,
thanks.
Have a good night, everybody.